about.
What do you think of this new entertainment medium that's just starting up, this thing called radio?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You, like, are definitely, you're the real thing that a lot of people say. So do you think if you weren't, I mean, if you were less fake, do you think you would be, or you could, or you have a desire to?
When you flow, you're like, you're put on the spot, and it's just so hard. You just go, blah.
Do you think it's going well?
No.
Get our beep in gear, play beep harder, and a bunch of other beeps. It was beep, 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 beep. Eddie Murphy, Raw, times 10.
That's good stuff. Thank you very much, sir.
And then drama ensues, hilarity, and other things of that sort.
And now.
Hey, Lisa May, I heard you eat a lot of chocolate. And chocolate.
Our feature presentation.
Really?
I support that guy.
It's just chocolate.
I support that guy just because of the delivery. I believe
I don't think he looks at it as just chocolate, though.
No, of course
he's got something else in mind, perhaps.
Well done. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 24th of September.
What's going on, party people? How's your heat wave, by the way? Is it dipping a little bit? You okay?
It's not dipping.
It wasn't that bad yesterday, was it?
It's under 100 now, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like 95.
Not bad.
Very comfortable.
Absolutely.
If it's 80 downtown, it's 95 where we live.
Right.
So that's. But it's all right.
You can add an extra 5 degrees in a funnel just above your house too.
Yeah, true.
That's
you
true.
Do live on the hottest spot on the planet,
yeah.
Right, Kevin?
No question. Yeah.
That's what I've been told. Well, we got a great show planned for you today. I have no idea what I'm basing that on, but I do have a story to get us started. Costco, right?
Right.
Right. Really?
Right.
Man.
Totally, right?
Have I been saying Costco?
Right. So you go to Costco, and you go to Costco, right, Kevin?
Uh-huh.
All right. So what happens when you're leaving the Costco, and you've just checked out from the register, and you're heading toward the door? What's the next step that happens before you're out of the store and on your way to your car?
You have to show them your receipt?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's where we were in the process in Portland, Oregon this week, where a man named Timothy Walls spent $102 at Costco in Northeast Portland. And he said an employee grabbed and held the shopping cart containing his property against his will. Costco says they were just asking to show the receipt. He doesn't say why he didn't show a receipt, but what he did instead, according to court documents, is he grabbed the employee by the shirt collar to pull him away from his shopping cart. At this point, the lawsuit that has now been filed alleges that a second employee then grabbed Mr. Walls and used a martial arts type strike with his leg that fractured his tibia.
Come on.
This is all over showing a receipt. Now, what's my biggest complaint about every story I see online is there's not enough information. Did he not have a receipt? Was he shoplifting? Was he making some sort of a statement like, how dare you not trust me? Of course I paid for this. What happened? Why did this altercation happen? Look, isn't it well known if you've ever been to Costco that that's the drill? Is it you show your receipt when you walk out? This guy, it doesn't say it was his first time ever at Costco.
The other thing is, even if you don't know about that, even if you've never been there, I mean, it's not that insulting for somebody to look at your receipt. If it matches, you hand it to them. And
right.
Absolutely.
Look at it and give it back to you, even if it's the first time you've ever heard of it.
It certainly seems to me that Costco is well within their rights to have that policy in place. And I know most stores don't have that policy in place. Most stores do have eyes on the door, though. They are looking for people who are walking out with stuff. And if they think that maybe that person didn't pay for it, they're going to ask. I mean,
Home Depot
shoplifting is a very real concern
sure.
for people. You don't want somebody going in there, loading up a cart, and then walking out. A place like Costco, you can walk out with $1,000 worth of stuff in your cart if you pick it right, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's suing.
Sure.
For $500,000 for loss of freedom and multiple fractures to the leg.
Loss of freedom.
He's also suing for future medical expenses totaling another $150,000.
You never know. They might have to amputate, you know.
And another $20,000 in lost wages. Is how much he estimates he's going to lose from not being able to work from whatever time it's going to take him to recover from a broken leg. $150,000 in medical expenses having a broken leg, by the way?
Was his leg broken, or is that what he's claiming? Did he go to the hospital?
Well, it doesn't say that in the article, but it does say in the lawsuit that he had a broken tibia.
Huh.
By the way, what about a Costco guy who had military service and MMA experience being the guy at the door? How about that dude?
That's impressive.
You show that guy your receipt.
Yes, you do.
There's no arguing there.
Sir, yes, sir. The man is not granting any interviews about the lawsuit at this time, but his attorney did speak with Channel 12 in Portland. So we'll see what happens. But I'm dying to know, was this like one of those stories that we talk about where I'm not going to show you my ID or I don't need no stinking papers or whatever it is? You know, was he just putting out a stand, or was he really trying to shoplift, or what happened? I really want to know what happened.
That is bizarre. And Fry's Electronics, they've got that, where they put somebody at the door and they look at your receipt. They almost never check that it matches.
They just want to see that you have a piece of paper that looks like a receipt in the bag with your stuff.
Are you willing to hand me a white piece of paper with any printing on it? All right, I'll put my name on it.
Good luck. Have
Good
a nice
times.
Day.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This kind of thing makes me feel dirty.
Shane Dawson will be on the program today.
Yeah.
YouTube star talking about the movie Not Cool.
Mm-hmm.
How old do you think Shane is, by the way?
I'm going to go
early 20s,
five,
maybe?
What?
Early 20s. Early 20s, yeah?
Yeah, I would say 20. Yeah, I'd say 24.
Just one of those success stories that you hear about where he just starts a YouTube channel in his bedroom, and the next thing you know, he has millions of people following him, and now he's gotten the opportunity to make a movie. It's a pretty remarkable success story.
It's crazy. Brand new internet roundup today. I'm going to tell you about a beef that I got in with a granny.
Oh, no. Kevin.
My granny beef. Never mind.
I rented it, too. We all saw granny beef, Kevin.
We also have tickets to the Long Beach Comic-Con on the program today.
Oh, very cool.
We're going to take your calls about the dumbest ways you were hurt. You hurt yourself in the most ridiculous, stupid way. And you probably have by now made up a different story so that you can tell people how it happened. So that's coming up as well. And just after 6, in about a half hour, we're going to tell you about a guy who, against his will, orgasms over 100 times a day.
Oh, my God.
Over 100 times a day.
I know that's funny, but it's got to be miserable.
I know you say that.
It's got to be a terrible, 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 terrible curse.
Right.
And I mean, you couldn't.
But it's got to be awesome as well.
I bet it's not awesome, Kevin.
I'll bet
it's awesome the first 5 times. And then after that, I bet you would, because you're not at all aroused, I would imagine. The last thing you feel, you're not feeling sexy.
He does have 4-hour boners. He does have that. That
has he seen his doctor?
He has not. Not that for that specifically, no. And Aisha Tyler will be here too today.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll ask her about the.
Sure, we will.
Orgasm.
The gravy beef and the 4-hour boater. That's sure. The kind of show she's coming on to
all
today.
All of that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz beat. That's 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6. Bean, you were on vacation when we had Vance Joy in.
Yeah, how was he?
He's from Australia, for those of you that don't know. And he played Australian rules football, which isn't exactly rugby, but it's not our football either. It's sort of a mixture. He's huge.
Yes.
He's a monster of a guy.
Really?
And yet,
6'4", 6'5"?
Very good looking.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you don't hear that. I know this sounds stupid. I don't hear that song and think of a football playing kind of guy.
Right. That's what was so weird. So he performed on the show, and I'm sure you can find this at krock.com, his performance. But he's sitting in a chair, and he's not only that, he chose a ukulele.
Yeah.
So now he's a monster of a guy, and he's holding a tiny little ukulele, and he's just doing that, and he's singing. I can't. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why did you choose a ukulele and sing at the very top of your register? What's going on with that guy?
Yeah, he's making some interesting choices.
Amazing! It was a great performance.
He was great.
He's blowing up stereotypes, is what he's doing there. Big guys can be sensitive too. Kevin, come on.
Nope.
Hey, there's no Ralph Garman to be seen, so we'll take a look at the showbiz beat for you this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:51. We have to start with the story that everybody is talking about. We are certainly not surprised. You heard us yesterday talking about Jasmine Tridevil, the woman with 3 boobs out of Florida.
Yes.
It didn't pass the sniff test yesterday, as you know, Lisa.
Yes.
That's an expression, Kevin.
Oh,
nobody's smelling anything. Thanks to our friends at TMZ, she has been revealed already as a fraud. She doesn't so much have three boobs as she has two boobs and is a big, fat, lying liar who lies. Here's what happens. And she's just kind of starting on the publicity that she claimed, as you heard in the interview tape that we played yesterday, was going to land her an MTV reality show. Now, I don't know how, if she was making the whole thing up, she ever expected that was going to pass muster with MTV, like they weren't going to check to see if she was...
Yeah, that's nuts.
Telling right. the truth. I mean, it seems like she had to know that this couldn't go the distance. But it was interesting the way that it was revealed. TMZ got a document from the Tampa International Airport Police Department describing a baggage theft involving the woman that we know as Jasmine Tridevil. That's not her real name. According to the document, someone stole a bunch of luggage off of an American Airlines conveyor belt, including a black nylon roller bag. She had that bag. I don't know where she was flying to, but her bag was among those stolen. Is that just a coincidence that we heard about this woman all over the place this weekend, and now she's involved in some sort of baggage theft?
Yeah, I agree. That was my first thought yesterday, is what are the chances she lost a bag yesterday of all days?
Mm-hmm. Right. Cops caught the thieves after IDing them with the airport surveillance video. The black bag belonged to Tridevil. But before she got it back, she was interviewed by the police, and their inventory was taken for a case against the crooks. Like, what was stolen so that we know what to charge them with? One of the items that was inside the bag was, according to the paperwork in her own handwriting, a 3-breast prosthesis. She told the cops it was valued at $5,000. So there's your answer on how it's done. Yeah. Is it's a prosthesis that, by the way... They did a really good job with, because yeah. it's pretty seamless. When you look at these pictures of her in the bikini, you can't see where it begins and ends. Obviously, it must fit over her real breasts, yet you can't see any kind of a seam there on how it's attached to her chest.
So do we think Jimmy Kimmel knew when he booked her?
We don't know. Okay. We don't know. He very likely could have just booked her based on the same reason we would have liked to have had her on, is what's up with this chick?
Yeah.
But it appears now that it was not a Kimmel prank, which is what one of our working theories was yesterday.
Yeah. I'm upset. I really wanted to believe.
I did, too. I very much wanted it to be a thing. So just like Total Recall, it was just all done with Hollywood makeup and magic.
Big ones, right?
Yep.
Big ones. They actually were, yeah.
But fake. Bruce Jenner is busy out spending money now. He couldn't be happier to get out of that clan.
Yeah.
Kris Jenner filed for divorce, TMZ reported, and yesterday he went and bought a UTV race car at the Sands Sports Super Show in Orange.
That can't be inexpensive.
Right. It's, I think it was like $50,000 or something like that. He was grinning from ear to ear after he purchased and bought it from NASCAR legend Robbie Gordon. And I don't know. Don't you get the idea? Like, he probably didn't even want that. You know what I mean? He's just in such a good mood. You know what? I'll take one of those, too, while I'm at it. Hand it over the money. Just couldn't be happier to be out of that family.
And the first thing I thought is, I wonder how tightly Kris Jenner held the reins of the finances in that marriage.
Right.
Like, maybe you're right, first, the company.
Yeah, right, exactly. Maybe he wasn't allowed to go out and splurge for things like that before, because maybe she wanted all the money. I don't know. I'm just posing the question, but I bet you're right. I bet he feels freer than he's ever felt.
Yeah.
It's great. Couple of interesting music news stories in this Showbiz Beat. Forbes magazine has put out their list of the 2014 list of hip-hop cash kings. Now, these are hip-hop artists, and this is everything. This is touring. This is record sales, publishing, merchandise sales, endorsements, whatever you've got going on. How much money did you bring in? It's no surprise that Dr. Dre is number one at the top, like he always is. Because of Beats Music.
Yeah.
But because he sold it to Apple for so much money, he'll make in 2014 $620 million.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a payday.
In one day. Like, and when the sale goes through, they will write him a check.
Well, no, this is, this is everything. He's right. Also still selling records and producing and whatnot. But, yeah, his whatever money he's going to get out of that Beats Music to Apple sale, yeah, he's gonna walk away with $620 million for this year. And this is a guy who, remember, has made billions of dollars over the last 10 years, too.
And, by the way, maybe I'm the only one, but those Beats headphones, they blow.
They do?
They're not very good.
Really?
Yeah. They crank up the bass.
And, yeah, I don't. They're not. I haven't heard. I've never tried them. I haven't heard that they blow, but I hear that they're not in the top 10 of good headphones on the market.
Not even close.
Yeah, it's more of a, it's marketing and fashion and whatever. I mean, I've used just about every type of them.
Yeah.
I've got the on the ear, the over the ear, which of course are, I can't find any for because I've got Dumbo ears. And just not that good. Really not that good at all.
They look cool, and they spend so much money on advertising. And I mean, it's not inexpensive to get guys like Colin Kaepernick to do your television commercials. I mean, that's where the money goes for Beats. And people look at that and go, oh, I want to be like him, and they buy these headphones.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty remarkable. In case you're wondering, by the way, so he's $620 million. A tie for number two is Jay-Z and Diddy. They made $60 million this year. So Dre is 10 times more than number two.
Diddy? Made as much as Jay-Z. Think about that.
How about that? I think he's got his fingers in a ton of different businesses, though, including Revolt TV.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Yeah, we're entertained by Jay-Z.
Drake was number four with $33 million on the list. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, 32. Kanye, 30. Birdman, 24. Lil Wayne, 23. Pharrell Williams, 22. And Eminem at $18 million. For 2014. And let me squeeze this last music story in before we get out of this. And that is, I know no one but Kevin's wife and maybe me cares about Barbara Streisand.
Ugh.
Why? Ugh.
She's just, ugh.
How is Barbara Streisand, ugh?
Just, come on.
You don't think she's a good singer?
Sure. You know what I think is the problem, honestly?
And you've been beaten down by hearing too much about Barbra Streisand the entire
problem.
Time you've been married?
This is the problem. This is why I hate Taylor Swift instead of just being able to ignore her.
Uh-huh.
In normal circumstances, she wouldn't be on my radar. I would pay no attention to any story about her.
And but you work with a Swiftie.
Right, but I work. Shut up. But I work with a guy who calls himself a Swiftie. So now that forces me into the position of she's not that great. So now, you know, that's why I hate her.
Okay.
And my wife worships Babs. So
yeah, you've heard enough about Barbara Streisand to last you the rest of your life.
I went to a show with her.
Yes, you did.
I went to a Barbara Streisand concert. I mean, for that type of music, it was great.
Okay.
It was 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
10,000 gay guys, 10,000 women, and me.
And you're that. You're the only straight guy in the whole room.
So it wasn't the best.
Well, the reason I bring her up is because her new album that just came out last week sold 196,000 copies, which is big business these days, and debuts at number one on the album chart. It's her 10th number one album, and she has set a new record. Listen to this. Like her or not, forget that we're even talking about Barbra Streisand. Any musical artist that you can think of, she's now had a number one album in six consecutive decades.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's unbelievable longevity to be an artist on the radio who has a number one album in the 1960s and then to have a career long enough to go into the 70s and then into the 80s. And then in the 1990s, you're still making records and still having number ones. Then in the 2000s, now in the 2010s, six decades in a row, she's had number one albums.
She's old. She doesn't look so bad if she's like, what does she have to be then, 100?
No.
She's in her 70s.
Yeah.
Trying to do the math quick.
She looks great for her 70s. She looks really
good. Still
sings.
Yeah. And still sings. And,
and her
still sings well,
not
too.
Lost a step.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was remarkable. Her first number one album was 50 years ago next month, by the way. Her album People hit number one in October of 1964. Today's celebrity birthdays, it's a weak-ass day, you guys. WKRP in Cincinnati's Gordon Clapp, maybe the biggest name on the list.
Yeah.
He is 66. Actor Kevin Sorbo turns 56 today. Actress Nia Vardalos is 52. And from the WWE, Stephanie McMahon turns 38. And that's the Showbiz Beat. Hey, quick reminder, by the way, that K-Rock's annual blood drive is going to be happening next Thursday. That's a week from – today's Wednesday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so a week from tomorrow, October 2nd, at Universal Studios Hollywood, starting at 6 a.m., our own Ralph Garman is going to be down there, so you can go down and meet him. Tons of K-Rock prizes. You can get all the details and sign up for an appointment at krock.com. But we do try to do this every year right around the Halloween season because people need blood. So krock.com, go get all the details and head on down and see Ralph next Thursday.
You know, they say don't criticize somebody until you've walked a mile in their shoes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I'd like to try. I think I'd like to try with this next guy.
Okay.
Who are we talking about? What's going on?
Well, we're talking about the guy who has up to 100 unwanted orgasms a day.
I think unwanted might be the key here, Kevin.
Every single day. Look, here's my,
I think that's what's confusing
Kevin. Here's my thing. Is there such a thing? Yes.
Apparently.
As an unwanted orgasm.
Yes, of course there is. 50 orgasms in, Kevin, do you think that feels good?
Do you know for a fact?
All right,
I'd like to try it. I'm just saying.
All right, what's this guy's story? How did it start? What's his life like? Tell me.
Well, you'll hear him going through the process of what happens to him during some of this interview.
Okay.
So
because he can't stop it.
He's having an episode. He's doubled over on the ground having an episode, and then the woman starts explaining who he is and what's going on.
Father of two, Dale Decker, suffers from a rare and seemingly incurable condition that leads to him suffering up to 100 unwanted orgasms a day.
Father of two. Can you imagine? Now there I can see why you would want to perhaps be able to control things.
In front of your kids. Listen to him.
Yeah, he's...
He's on the ground.
It doesn't sound like fun, Kevin.
I'm saying I don't know, Bean. You know for a fact? I'm saying I don't.
I'm just using logic that it can't feel good.
He will tell you.
There's nothing pleasurable about it because even though it might physically feel good.
All right. So right there, there's nothing pleasurable about it except for the fact that it might feel good. But then he continues.
Depending on where you're at, if you're in public, if you're around strangers, I mean, it can make a person break real fast.
Yeah, spends most of his time in his house.
Aww.
I mean, imagine the embarrassment trying to be in public. You're standing in line at a grocery store, and all of a sudden you have to keel over. You know, I mean, that's no way to live.
And what's it called?
The 37-year-old is the first man to ever speak publicly about the condition known as persistent sexual arousal syndrome, or PSAS. And he says it's ruining his life.
Okay. It's kind of funny, though, let's be honest. PSAS.
It sounds horrible,
Persistent
Kevin.
Persistent sexual arousal syndrome.
I hope you get it.
All right. Now, I want you guys, knowing what you know so far, to think of worst case scenario. This guy can't control when and how many orgasms he has. Worst case scenario. What would he be doing where it would be terrible for this to be a problem?
Funeral.
When you're on your knees at your father's funeral.
Good catch, Lisa.
How did you know that?
No.
All right, so I want you to picture this. They're at his dad's funeral. And he doubles. I don't know the physics of it or whatever, but he does double over on the ground every time.
Oh, my God.
So now he's at his dad's funeral.
No hiding that.
When you're on your knees at your father's funeral, at his casket, and you're saying goodbye to him, and then you have 9 orgasms right there while your whole family is standing behind you. It just makes you never want to have another orgasm as long as you live.
You had 9.
But you know what? You just keep on coming.
C-O-M-I-N-G, by the way.
Right. Listen to how sad and how miserable he sounds, though.
Yeah,
father's
Kevin.
Funeral with the family.
Come on.
Yeah. Look, right there, I'm like, oh, dear God,
it's
no.
It's sad, but you just don't. Do you go?
Do you go to your dad's funeral?
It sounds like this
you
happens
do.
All the time, no matter say, what he does.
I would say you go, but maybe stay in the back. Don't have your family behind you. You know what I mean? Like, hide in the back somewhere.
I wonder what it's like for his wife, by the way, because there's no way he ever wants to have sex, is there?
That's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Hold on to that thought. First, how did it start? How did it happen?
Dale, from Wisconsin in America, was enjoying his suburban life in 2012 when he slipped a disc in his back while getting out of a chair.
That was it.
Really?
And by the way, this is 2 years ago, so he's had up to 100 orgasms a day for 2 years because he got hurt getting out of a chair. He slipped a disc, and they don't understand how, but that's exactly when this all started happening.
Triggering the condition for unknown reasons.
Put me in the back of the ambulance to take me to the hospital. And on the way there, I had my first 5 orgasms, and they've never stopped.
Can you imagine? You slip a disc, which is super painful.
Yes.
Then they put you in an ambulance, and this is the first time that this has happened to you, right? So you're thinking, I'm in an ambulance, go to the hospital because I hurt my back. How is it possible that I'm having...
there's nothing sexy about what's happening to me right now. Where are these coming from?
Right. What's happening to me? But but at that point, he had to like it, right? He hasn't been embarrassed yet.
Well, no, you'd be embarrassed in an ambulance.
I don't know.
If that's happening to you.
I guess, but it sure beats the pain of the slipped disc.
But it wouldn't... it wouldn't be painful yet, I wouldn't think.
PSAS is a condition of unrelenting genital arousal and spasms, which is not necessarily sexual. And they have no idea when this is going to happen or how often, and can lead to intense suffering.
What's an average day like for this guy?
30, 40 a day. It's really hard to deal with.
30 or 40 a day.
Oh, my God.
Just 30 or 40.
I can't believe we're hearing about non-sexual orgasms, by the way. That's a thing I had no idea existed.
That is weird, right? Sex with his wife, you asked, Bean?
Is it possible to have sex with my wife? We don't very often because it becomes frustrating.
Yeah.
For her?
He doesn't continue, but I imagine for all women who are frustrated with guys that too quickly.
Okay.
And then you've got all that laundry to do and you have to repaint.
But if you hang in there, he could
maybe
come
just
back.
Wait. I mean, if he's having five and a half an hour, it seems like that there's something in it for you.
Maybe. All right, now he's in a therapist's office because he's
Why are you laughing at this poor man?
Because he's in a therapist's office. Now you hear them talking to each other, and then in the middle of that, he ends up getting up and walking out of the room. But I'm laughing because I know what it sounds like.
Desperate for help, Dale has turned to therapist Diane London to see if she can shed light on the condition.
It's destroying every part of everything in my life.
When it comes to sexual issues, people get very... go ahead.
She says, go ahead. Gets up and walks out.
I've never seen anything like that before. There are no words.
Some words. Let's be honest, there are some words.
Can they not fix it? Do they not have any idea how to stop it?
They have no idea what causes it, so they don't really know how to fix it.
This is a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
Or the greatest
thing ever. And I wish
it on
Kevin. I wish it on Kevin.
It's either a nightmare or the greatest thing ever. Let's be honest.
Happy, happy times for Dodgers fans right now. Muggs, you got to be so excited about the playoffs coming up. All the games you're going to be able to leave early from.
How dare you?
Muggs, for those of you that don't remember, was at the World Series games where Kirk Gibson hit the home run.
Yes.
October 15th, 1988, one of the most famous days in baseball history.
And his mom made him leave before that happened so they didn't see it.
So it's interesting to see what other, just fascinating to imagine what other great plays you're not going to see this year. Dodgers could clinch the West tonight. They're playing the Giants. The game is on ESPN, by the way, in addition to Channel 56, so you are going to get a chance to see it. We were talking Dodgers off the air yesterday because we got an email from a listener, and I apologize to that listener that I've already deleted it, so do not have your name to credit you. But she wrote to me, knowing that I am a Taylor Swift fan, and said, hey, did you know that A.J. Ellis, the catcher for the Dodgers, uses Taylor Swift's Shake It Off as his walk-up music. So everybody knows that song, big hit for Taylor this year.
Yeah, I love it. Wow, it's great.
So Kevin says, wait, hold on a sec. What, first of all, why is a Major League Baseball player using music, you know, for 13-year-old girls as his sports theme to come up to the plate? And second of all, how does that work with walk-up music? And yes, Kevin, you get to pick whatever song you want, except for something that they won't play in the stadium because of language or whatever. You get to pick your own music every time you come to the plate at a home game.
I had no idea this was part of baseball.
But you've been to games before. Yeah. You've heard that they play different songs for players as they come out. You just thought maybe they were just making that decision randomly in the ballpark.
You don't pay attention to that kind of stuff once you've had a few drinks.
That's true. So, yeah, you're allowed to pick your own. And it's funny because, most of the players are in their 20s and they use hip-hop music. There are some surprises throughout the league. The number one most used walk-up song, by the way, is Trophies by Drake, in case you're wondering. That's the one that is used by the most players in the major leagues this season, which makes a lot of sense when you know what the song's about.
Can I ask you one question? Can I go back to Taylor Swift? Do you think that guy's doing it ironically?
I don't know.
To be funny, because
I would imagine.
That's a good guess.
He would have to. Okay, go ahead.
That's a good guess that it's a gag for the right. other players or something like that. Yeah, because I mean it's weird that a guy like that, a professional athlete, would be a big Taylor Swift fan and would want to advertise that to the, I don't know. It just
right.
seems weird.
Because no guy over 25 likes her. So
how
you can see that.
That's dare
be
you.
Too embarrassing.
Earlier this season, national news was made, and a lot of people thought it was hilarious when Josh Reddick for the Athletics chose his walk-up to bat music as Careless Whisper by Wham.
What? See, this is a guy being funny. This is like a breakup song, right? From way back?
Yes, that has to be. He had to have done that knowing that it was hilarious because nobody picks like soft rock to come out to a major league.
Awesome. I need to play baseball now just so I can pick my own music. I would come out to this.
I like it.
No cursing. There's no cursing.
I like it. Esquire magazine. I did a little digging around yesterday online. Esquire magazine did a list recently of the worst walk-up songs in baseball, and I thought some of them were very funny, and I was unfamiliar with some of the choices that these guys had made, so I thought you'd enjoy hearing some of them as well. David Wright, third baseman for the Mets, he comes out to New Kids on the Block.
Yes. Yes. See, that's ironic.
Again.
I hope.
He has to be doing that because it's hilarious in the 21st century to be playing New Kids on the Block at a baseball stadium.
I think anytime you open up a category like this where you can pick whatever you want, there are a certain amount of people in that league that have a sense of humor that are going to pick a song like that.
Outfielder for the Tigers, J.D. Martinez. He steps up to the plate with ABBA.
If he danced out to the box, that would be awesome.
How about Drew Hutchinson? He is a pitcher for the Blue Jays, so he doesn't get to bat very often, only in interleague games. But when he does, here's the song he comes to the plate for.
Hey, I'll just make you.
Nope.
This is crazy.
Nope, nope, nope.
And by the way,
he does that to be funny, let's be honest.
And by the way, these are all for this year. These are songs that they have used in 2014. So has he been using Carly Rae Jepsen for 3 years? Has that been his song, do you think? Or do you think it's just something that he just recently decided would be hilarious to play?
That's really hard for me to guess because if I was in his position, I would use that every time. Or change it to something else that's, you know, incredibly stupid.
Mike Karp, who has been traded a bunch this season, he is with the Rangers right now, started out with the Red Sox. He has an interesting choice, too, a song you don't hear very often.
There's gonna be a heartache tonight, a heartache tonight, I know.
Now, I was thinking about this.
There's gonna be a heartache.
A lot of people hate the Eagles. A lot of people think the Eagles are the worst band. I think that's ridiculous. But I wonder if he chose this song. I wonder if this is the first one on the list where somebody chose it intentionally for the lyrics because they're trying to make some sort of a statement about what kind of a hitter they are.
Oh, meaning it's going to be heartbreak for you, the opposing fans?
Yes, that's right. I'm about to give you a blow to the dome. Right, exactly. So I'm almost wondering if that's kind of on purpose for the reason that you think these songs would be, like to pump you up, like play an Eye of the Tiger or something like that.
I can see that.
All right, couple more. There's a Seattle Mariner on the list. He's one of our starting pitchers, Blake Blevin. He is 6'7", by the way. Here's the song he comes out to.
Nope.
Has an Ice Ice Baby on my
VIP.
Wasn't that,
let's
like,
kick it.
Didn't that have a resurgence where it got cool again, but hasn't that moment passed? It's bad again, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Tony Sanchez catches for the Pirates, another bizarre choice. He walks out to Mariah Carey. And I don't understand that because that's not wacky enough to be hilarious, but it's also not macho enough to be effective.
Yeah, that's a bad. If he's trying to be funny, it's bad. And if he's not trying to be funny, it's bad.
All right, two more on Esquire's list. Number two on the list of the worst Major League walk-up songs is Kelly Johnson. He's with the Orioles now. He was a Yankee earlier this season. He comes up with a song from just a couple of years ago. You remember this one from Hot Shelly Ray?
We're going at it tonight, tonight. There's a party on the rooftop, top of the world tonight.
Like it ought to have anything to do with professional sports or anything that men do.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And number one on Esquire's list, worst Major League batter walk-up music, is Lyle Overbay. He's the first baseman for the Brewers. And I don't know, when you realize who the band is, you cringe. But when you hear this music, I think it still sounds pretty cool. I mean, I can see walking up to the plate with this music because you think mission is possible, right? Yes, unfortunately, that's...
It's the Limp Bizkit version.
Yes, unfortunately, that's the problem with his choices, these Limp Bizkit. So I think you can pull that off if you just have that little instrumental part. But if you're walking up and you're actually going with this part of the song...
Limp Bizkit is rocking the set. It's
yeah.
Like Russian roulette when you're placing your bet. Yeah. So don't be upset when you're broke and you're done. Because I'm going to be the one till I jet. I'm going to be the one till I jet. I know why you want to hate me.
Wait, when you get to there, you go, no, I don't need...
Oh,
I don't,
no, that's the part I would use.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But isn't this the most Limp Bizkit part of
yes,
the whole song?
That's my point. You don't use the beginning that's sort of Limp Bizkit.
You go full on Limp Bizkit.
Oh, by the way, yes. You missed the most obvious one, which is Matt Kemp. He comes out.
Balls, 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 balls.
I got no problem with that. By the way, got a tweet at Kevin and Bean from a listener talking about the Major League Baseball walk-up music. Uh-huh. Reminds me that two other Dodgers have a sense of humor, we assume. Andre Ethier uses Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money when he comes up to the plate.
Yeah, it's comedy. It's got to be comedy.
Drew, is it Butera, Dave? Drew Butera?
Yeah, he's a Dodger.
He comes up with Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley. Yeah, we're talking about the Dodgers and their walk-up music.
Dave anyway. Just walked up.
Sorry,
he didn't know.
Yeah. So anyway, so Never Gonna Give You
the
Up.
Dodgers.
Rick Astley has to be also, that has to also be just for comedy, right?
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Got a guest coming in next hour who would be much better at doing this radio show than we are. She is actress, comedian, podcaster. Aisha Tyler will be joining us. That's coming up. Also, Shane Dawson on the program later on today. And a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. First, though, time for the Afro Line.
323-520-AFRO. You leave us a message on any topic 24 hours a day. Bean usually tries to call you back, so go ahead and leave your number. And he'll get back to you within about 24 hours. The first one is about our man Beer Bug.
So you guys have hung up both on Sir Paul McCartney and Bono. Bravo, Kevin and Bean Morning Show. Bravo.
Nice. Kevin, you were on vacation last week. We had Bono on, but here's what the end of that call sounded like with him.
Thanks, dude. Okay. Bye-bye. Look.
Yeah,
that was goodbye, Mr. Bono.
I told Muggs before I left, if we get Bono, because he had to reschedule, you hang up on him. So nice work, man.
Awesome.
Doing good stuff.
Hey, Beer Mug, I hope God hangs up on you.
All right. I hope that happens today.
That's not
and
bad.
I hope that's a euphemism.
Hey, man, I just want to say that I don't appreciate the way you guys treat Beer Mug.
Oh.
I mean, he's a genuinely nice person. I'm sorry. I can see you keep a straight face with that. Just fire the hell out of that guy.
We say you could leave a message on any topic. I don't know that this was one that we need.
Do you know where I can get a prostitute? I'm horny.
Yeah,
like I say, Vino will get back to you.
We're not really the place to call for that.
This is maybe the first time in history that this question has been asked.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say, Doc and the Rock do not get the credit he deserves. I think you guys should have, like, a segment. Let's find out more about this guy. Who is he? He gives us these awesome news reports every day, but we don't know anything about him. You know, let your listeners get to know Doc and the Rock a little more. He's fun, he's witty, and he's, you know, he's up to date, he's current, and he doesn't sound like he's relatively young. I'd like to know more about him.
I liked Kevin's idea off the air, which is that we give Doc a farewell party this week.
How dare you? I'm going to tell you something. When the Kevin and Bean Show comes to an end, it's going to be because we're all dead. Not in any way tied to that last topic.
Ahoy there, Bean, you scabrous dog. What sort of man be ye, you scurvy scum, who does not want to celebrate the best holiday in all the world, talk like a pirate day? You best straighten up real soon or you'll be walking the plank.
Arr! That's a pretty good pirate.
That's not bad, right? You didn't do it while I was gone, huh?
No. Don't you feel that Talk Like a Pirate Day was fun?
Yep.
I'm glad we enjoyed it at the time.
Sure.
But I'm fine to have that be a thing we used to do.
You know the Paul McCartney Meat Free Monday?
Yes.
Sure. Sounds like it was written by a second grader.
Meat Free Monday. It's a fun day.
Yeah, back in the news. Got a new video out.
All around the world.
It is happening all around the world. Here's a caller that has a suggestion.
Hey, Lisa. Want to join me for Meat Free Monday?
Yes, she does.
Yes, she does indeed.
All right, so I'm not much of one for Access Hollywood or Entertainment Tonight or E-T, whatever, any of those shows. But last night they were playing the J-Lo booty video. Oh, for the love of God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. Can you please use the old Internet Roundup intro?
Now, what do you think the problem is with this guy? What do you think this guy's complaint is? He wants to go back to the old one because the new one that we're using is a problem with it.
Is it referring to the new Cameo Word Up one that Omar did, do you think?
Yeah, the very timely Cameo parody
from the 80s. I don't know. I don't know what his complaint is about that. I like
Every single time Omar goes, yeah, sounds like goddamn Bob Dylan.
A roundup, yeah! That doesn't sound like Bob Dylan.
Not even a little bit.
Because you can understand what he's saying.
Right.
Don't be ridiculous.
Potty bus, potty bus, oh, potty, potty bus, potty bus, potty bus, oh, potty, potty bus, potty bus.
Okay.
I believe most of you will enjoy this more than me.
Good afternoon, Kevin and B. This is a quote from the great Kevin Ryder. It's weird to see people jump from are not positive what the answer is to are must be, you know, an infallible word of God, or, you know, and terrorist, you know, situations, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified. So you must be ill, and you go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
Well done.
Amazing.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It's weird to see people jump from, I'm not positive what the answer is, to, it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in a terrorist, you know, situation, or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Boy, I don't have any doubt it's going to be the number one moment with for 2014, but I think it could be the greatest moment with of all time. I really do.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
That's right. Thank you, Lisa. That's world famous K-Rock at 6:54.
We're doing the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is out today. I wanted to ask Dave come in because he's been following a story that I am fascinated with. You know, all these celebrity nudes that have been leaked. There was another round over the past weekend. Jennifer Lawrence has been out there. Rihanna, Kim Kardashian was this weekend. Amber Heard, a ton of nude photos. Well, our man Steve-O has been basically begging to be hacked. Now, I don't know why Steve-O thinks we want to see him naked. And I don't know why Steve-O thinks there's anybody left who hasn't seen him
naked.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Haven't we all?
We have seen him naked in everything that everything he's ever done. So he apparently has been tweeting the hackers, daring them to steal his photos. And Dave, you said there's an update. Or what's happening with Steve-O and his
Yeah, he challenged hackers to hack him in any way. And, well, first he challenged the cops to arrest him, and he gave them his flight information and all that. So there was that. Nothing happened out of that. But then he challenged hackers to hack him. And now, as of last night, around almost midnight, someone hacked him and now is tweeting from Steve-O's account and, you know, saying some awful stuff. And
They didn't put up any pictures that he wanted.
No. They're just tweeting awful things right now. Like, hey, they're announcing using his Twitter account that he's been hacked. And now they're just saying, hey, MTV, I'm going to jump off a building. Come watch me and stuff like that. You know, like,
He is desperate to get some of this attention that the other celebrities are getting. He probably put, you know, his password was probably 1234 on his Twitter account, just begging somebody to find it, right?
Well, when he did the initial challenge, he hashtag SeaWorld sucks. So, you know, I think he's doing this all just for more publicity for
that. He's still upset that he didn't get arrested for that SeaWorld sign stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, dude.
Well, I'm with Steve-O. Whatever he's doing, I love it.
Pharrell Williams is getting into the fashion business. He's one of those weirdos that seems like whatever he Somehow he can pull off anything.
Right.
He was wearing that ridiculous hat, remember, and it was all the rage for a while. And anybody else, seems like anyone else in the world that would try to wear that hat would just fail. For
yeah.
some reason.
But he's cool enough that he can pull it off.
So he is working on a line of accessories from Louis Vuitton's parent company. And the collection will include a limited edition bag in the shape of vintage trains.
Okay.
Wow, that's on my gotta-have list.
So it sounds like sounds like Pharrell doesn't have anyone around him to go, hey, that's not going to be a good idea.
But don't you think because it's Pharrell that there are going to be people who are going to line up and want to own it?
Yep.
I don't know. It's made of acrylic resin, carved ebony wood, and it's $13,000.
No.
Sounds a little heavy, too.
For a bag in the shape of a train.
Is that for men or women?
Men don't... I think it's for women.
Huh.
I don't know a lot of men that carry bags.
I don't know a lot of women that are into trains.
That's my point.
Maybe Pharrell needs like a misfire.
Maybe Pharrell needs a little guidance. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that is a weird item.
That's a terrible idea.
We live in the golden age of concerts right now in that it seems like every 2 weeks there's another Coachella or Bonnaroo or Lollapalooza or Outside Lands. It just seems like there are a million of them. And there's another one that's happening this weekend on Saturday, and I bring it up because it's in New York, so you probably won't go, but it's going to be live on TV. Of all stations, by the way, MSNBC is going to be airing the Global Citizen Festival. It's happening in New York's Central Park. Jay-Z is performing. Alicia Keys, No Doubt, Carrie Underwood, Fun, period, The Roots, and Tiesto.
What?
That's a pretty decent lineup.
But
and it's why, free.
But why MSNBC? Isn't that a information?
Yes.
Yeah, like it's a financial news now?
Yeah, and political talk, yeah. Well, NBC might have some sort of a deal with the promoter for the concert, I think, because they're going to have a primetime one-hour special on Saturday night with highlights from the concert and also information about the campaign, the Global Citizens Festival, you know, the campaign there. It's an organization that raises awareness about vaccines and education and clean water and things like that, trying to end poverty. So maybe the news division somehow is involved in that. I don't know, and that's, you know, that's NBC, so maybe MSNBC. NBC gets the spillover, but the fact that you can turn on your TV and see a free No Doubt concert, for instance, this weekend, that's worth seeing. It it starts at noon our time on Saturday. If you're a fan of any of those acts and you want to check it out,
I know Lisa gets a little stressed at this time of the year because there's so many returning shows and
yes.
so many new shows.
Yes,
it's impossible to keep up with all of them. Well, here's
I want to watch everyone once,
except for this one. Here's one that we can all agree we can just eliminate, and then we can move on and try everything else. NBC is working on a new series based on the book Eat, Sleep, Poop, A Common Sense Guide to Your Baby's First Year.
I missed that book.
The series is about a celebrity pediatrician who's at the top of his field
work.
But when he goes home...
Is his life crazy?
Oh, it falls all apart.
Oh, no. That never happens.
It's insane. He can give other people good advice, but he can't do it himself.
Are his children running amok?
They're going crazy. Hilarity ensues. And at least we don't have to watch that show.
All right. I'm with you.
Good.
They're making a series out of a child-rearing handbook is basically what they're doing.
It's kind of... It's more of a pamphlet. Too. It's not even a book.
Since you brought it up, I'll just mention some of the shows that are returning and some of the new debuts tonight on the networks, Lisa, if you're interested. The Middle returns tonight on ABC, followed by the season premiere of The Goldbergs, then the season premiere of Modern Family, then a new show premiering that's getting pretty good buzz called Blackish. Mm-hmm. That's going to be at 9:30, and then 10 o'clock is the season premiere of Nashville. That's all on ABC tonight. Survivor returns tonight on CBS. They are in San Juan del Sur. Wherever that is.
I don't think they're making up places now.
They might be, yeah. After that is Big Brother on CBS tonight. On Fox tonight is Hell's Kitchen and the second episode of Red Band Society. And NBC has a new show that I don't know. I don't have any idea what it is, but it was in the top 10 last week. It's called Mysteries of Laura.
I don't know.
It was in the top 10 last week.
Say the name again.
Mysteries of Laura is what it's called.
I don't even know. What that is.
Then the season premiere of Law & Order, SVU, and Chicago PD after that. So
oh,
that's
Mysteries of Laura is the Deborah Messing show, where she's the NYPD detective.
Okay.
All right.
I saw the commercials for that. It looks awful.
Well, here's the thing. She's a really good detective, but her life at home is out of control.
Wow, crazy. She's got kids that run amok. She's good at work, but when she gets home, it all falls apart.
Actor Kevin Sorbo is 56 today. Actress Nia Vardalos turns 52. From the WWE, Stephanie McMahon is 38. And WKRP in Cincinnati, actor Gordon Clapp has a birthday today, too. He is 66, and that's the Showbiz Beat. Actress, comedian, and one of the stars of Archer and podcaster, Aisha Tyler, joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Congratulations to Monique Cabrera from Bell Gardens. She just won tickets to Mickey's Halloween party at the Disneyland Resort. We're going to be giving those away all week long here on K-Rock. You can go to K-Rock.com for more information and another chance to win. Kevin, what kind of beef are you in now?
A granny beef.
Why are you fighting granny?
I'm going to beef for the granny.
Why are you fighting an old lady? Did she, did she cut your tree? Did she put up a fence between your property? What happened?
It's a long story. I had to change my cell phone number because the wrong people got my cell phone number. Okay? So I change it. Now I have a new one. Everything's good. What I don't realize is the number that I have now, the new one, it used to be the phone number of a girl named Mandy. And Mandy was the most popular person on the planet.
So your phone is ringing all the time with people who are trying to get a hold of Mandy?
Mostly texting. Mandy, where are you? I haven't heard from you for a while. And I would text back, wrong number. And then, hey, Mandy, we're in New York. Where are you? Wrong number. Hey, Mandy, we're having a party at Trey Song's house up in the hills. Where are you?
Wow.
So then, like, at that point, I started to get annoyed, but then I started to go, you know, I could probably have some fun with this.
Yeah.
So I would say I would text back, you know, tried to get in, but they wouldn't let me at the door, you know, or something, anything like
so
that.
So wait, now you're pretending
to
be Mandy?
Yeah, because it was annoying for a while, and then I thought, why don't I have a little bit of fun with this?
All right, hold on. Before we get into how now you're impersonating Mandy, because I think that's the right call, by the way. I think it's very funny.
Okay.
My question to you is, how long has this been going on where you've been getting these calls? Like, how long after you got the number were people still texting for Mandy? Or are they still now?
They still are now.
Is it months?
Yeah,
is it months later?
No. It's been about 3 weeks.
Okay.
But nonstop.
Okay, but aren't
I would say, without exaggerating, I would say 7 to 10 times a day.
Oh, wow.
Right? This is the most popular person in the world.
You should be hanging with Mandy, by the way. Sounds like she's got a better life.
I wish I could get a hold of her.
But you don't know her number.
You don't know the half of she has a better life than I do. There's I would get a text that would say, hey, Mandy, we're going to Ibiza. You want to join us? And I would think to myself, why can't I be Mandy? I'm going to Ibiza.
Here's what I don't get.
Paris. How long till you get here?
Wow, that's pretty sweet.
Not telling everyone that you changed her number?
I don't know.
Because I would think, and I understand that you got her number and that makes sense and it happens to everybody when they get a new number, but I would think that you would be one by one stomping all those people by writing them back and saying wrong number and that person wouldn't text anymore. So how can there be that many different people weeks later who are still texting Mandy?
There are because late in the first week of this, I started blocking the numbers. You can literally, if a number comes up, you can block it so that they know.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a little like information, maybe an exclamation mark or something.
You better hope that Mandy and you don't share any friends because you're going to find out they can't contact you.
At that point, I was blocking people right, left and right. I was just like, look, because they would retext. They would just, I guess I was in their number, you know, in their Rolodex or whatever, in their contact list, and they would just text. And it would be some people that I'd told before. So I'd say, still the wrong number. And then, you know, once it was twice or three times, then I would start blocking.
Okay.
By last week, I had probably blocked. Oh, at first I got to being mean. I thought if I was mean, now maybe that's my answer. So somebody would text her and I would go, you know, if you were really Mandy's friend, she would have given you her new number. Right? Like trying to be funny.
Right.
But they would write back, ha ha.
So they would think that you were still Mandy and still playing.
What am I supposed to do?
That's tough. Mandy's a card.
What a bitch.
That is tough.
And she's got such a great life. She does nothing but jet set around the world, and she knows more people than exist.
Wow.
So who's Granny? Why are you fighting with an old lady over Mandy?
Last week while I was on vacation, I got some very surly texts. The first one was, hey, how are you? It's been a while. And I type back, as I do to everybody, wrong number. She texted back, Mandy, why are you saying that? How are you? So I wrote
what
back.
What part of wrong number right. don't you understand,
so
Grandma?
I wrote back this, and for me, I like to screw around with people, but yeah. it has to come from a good place. I have to be having fun or it's not fun. This quickly turned not fun, Granny Beef. So she texts back, who is this? And why don't you give the phone to Mandy? As if now I'm with Mandy and I'm just playing a right. joke on her. So I wrote back to her, listen, here's the phone number. I know it used to be Mandy's. It's not anymore. She is much details. I
right. She changed her number.
She gave up this phone number.
Yeah.
Changed it to another phone number where she can be reached. But this is no longer her number. Now, to
now, that
me,
sounds very helpful, very reasonable. And it sounds like you explained it in a way that even an old person should,
yes.
should grasp the concept.
Although I didn't know who I was dealing with
right.
yet. Immediately the phone rings.
Okay.
So I pick it up. What's wrong with you? Give Mandy the phone. She goes, now she's calling.
So now you're on the phone with Mandy's grandma?
Yeah, but she sounds old, but she doesn't sound grandma. She sounds like maybe aunt, mom's friend.
Right.
She sounds
okay.
maybe like she's in her 50s, maybe,
okay.
you know.
Okay.
So so I say to her, look, I tried to explain this to you in the text, but this... This is my phone number now, and it's no longer a way to get a hold of Mandy.
And I don't know Mandy, and she's not here, and I'm a dead end. Sorry.
Right. So I hung up, and the phone rang back immediately.
Oh, my God.
And this is what happened. You son of a bitch.
What?
You mother effer.
You
are
stop
you playing effing games with me and effing give Mandy the effing phone.
Whoa.
She says that and hangs up.
Oh, my God.
So is it on?
Now it's on. So I call her back.
Yes.
And now still I don't know it's her grandma.
Yeah.
I call her back and I go, maybe Mandy changed her number and didn't give you her new one because you're such a goddamn bitch. At which she said, you mother effer. She started screaming, you mother effer. Give her the phone. I don't like these games.
Oh, my.
Now she's screaming. And now it's not quite as much fun because, I don't know. I mean, it's fun to mess with people, but
she's losing her mind.
So then I say, all right, look, I'm not going to call her back. I'm literally going to have to change my number again. But. I'm going to text her so that we don't get any more of a fight. So I texted her, look, didn't mean to yell at you. Sorry about that. You know, one of your other friends maybe asked them what Mandy's number is. And then she called back on the phone and said, I'm not her friend. I'm her grandmother.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Kevin.
Don't say Kevin.
But
Granny
didn't you feel like
Granny came at me.
Giant dick.
Granny came at me.
Poor Granny.
What are you going to do if Granny comes at you, Lisa?
I don't know. Poor Granny. Maybe she's not all
F
there.
F Granny. F her. Oh, she was all there. She was knew exactly what she was saying.
She's
what a bitch.
Foul-mouthed Granny.
Oh. So I blocked her. No, I have to get a new number.
You have to get
Dude,
another new number.
You should meet Granny and you should wreck her. That's what you should do.
I'll give that some serious thought.
It's that time of year again. The Los Angeles Podcast Festival is happening this weekend at the beautiful Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills. You know, we were supposed to have the great Jimmy Pardo on our show today. And then he canceled and I was heartbroken because, Kevin, you know I love Jimmy Pardo.
Yeah, you do.
He's one of my favorites. And I was so sad.
I like him a lot, too, but your love for him's a little unnatural.
He's one of my favorites, but I was so sad. And then we realized that we could get Aisha Tyler instead, and I said, F Jimmy Pardo. Aisha Tyler is here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. Hello. I wonder
upgrade.
Where that was going, by the way.
It was a major upgrade
yeah.
at this point.
Well, I was like, he's like, we couldn't get Jimmy, and then this broad showed up. She was hanging out outside. She had nothing to do.
No, I consider this an amazing upgrade. In fact, it's
by the way, I'm two and a half Jimmy Pardos.
I don't know if you've ever met the guy in person, but literally I could put him in my pocket. He's adorable. He's twee. Very funny for a tiny guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. By the way, first use of the word twee, maybe in the 21st century.
Absolutely.
So well done, Aisha.
I'm bringing back those 17th century words like all day long. Yes.
I feel like it's been too long since you've been in, but then I look at what your work schedule is like and I realize why. How many actual literal jobs do you have right now?
Oh, wow. You know, maybe seven. Three television series on the air, one in development, a podcast that just hit 12 million downloads, and then I'm a touring comic.
And so the three are Archer, obviously.
So much cocaine. It's like not even
I was going to ask.
This looks like a protein shake. Liquid cocaine.
All right.
Then I can never remember. I know there's the Talk.
So the Talk
the
every
chew,
day.
And there's the View. And you're on the Chalk,
I'm on,
right?
That's
yours.
On the Chalk, yes. I'm on the Punch.
Chalk? And what's the third series?
So the Talk every day on CBS. Archer, starting its sixth season in January on FX. And then Whose Line Is It Anyway on the CW.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Whose Line Is It
Anyway.
So three TV shows.
Yeah.
Plus a podcast, plus touring comedian.
I am the black female Ryan Seacrest. All the jobs. Grubby Bass.
Why?
All
no,
the jobs.
But you have talent.
That was nice. That was three. There. See how I bumped that up right by the net and then you slammed it?
Nicely
done.
Yes,
you were really cheap. It was nice. Yeah,
really?
Absolutely.
Why do you work so hard? Why do you work so much? Because one or two of these would probably be enough to make a comfortable living.
Oh, whores are so expensive. I don't know if you guys have been on the street lately, but they're very picky. They want food now.
They
want to be fed. They want a jacket. They're cold.
Wow. No, it's ridiculous.
You know, I wish I could explain it. I think I'm probably a clinical workaholic. That's the easiest way to describe it to you. But also I feel like, you know, I started out as a comedian. Comedians are self-starters. We're only really happy when we're grinding. I feel like, you know, that kind of penny taste of panic is what makes me feel alive. And I also remember, you know, years ago, I had two series on the air at the same time, and they both went away, and then I had no series, and I did not like that feeling at all.
That's a bad feeling?
That's a terrible can't pay your bills? Terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever felt that? Not good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a different kind of penny taste.
Have we ever felt that? Yeah. We're in radio, Aisha. We're always one paycheck away from feeling that. Are you kidding
me? That's a terrible thing. So... and I just also think as an artist and as a performer, I like to be challenged. I think the more – if I am interested in something, I just do it. I don't really care if it goes well or poorly because I feel like the act of doing is its own reward. And so the podcast I started because I had friends who had shows and I love being on their shows. You know, I had done The Nerdist and I had done, you know, Carolla's show. And I was like, God, that was super fun. And I love doing radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started and I was like, we'll see how it goes. And then it was just killer.
How hard can it be
fun.
To talk?
Yeah. Well, I do it for a living.
Well, you turn on this show and you go, seriously, literally anything.
Anybody can do it. No, and also, you know, I love doing radio, but the great thing about a podcast is, like, I come here and I'll be with you guys for a little while, and I'm like, man, I could have talked to those guys for an hour. I don't know why. You're not that interesting.
That's
but then
true. Because you could talk to anyone.
Because I could talk to myself
right.
for an hour.
Right.
But then I'm sure you guys have this. You have somebody on the show you love. You admire their
absolutely.
Work. You love what they do. I get to corner that person alone in a room for an hour. Like, I had Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine on my show.
Is he the best?
Oh, my God. He's a genius, and he's so great. Henry Rollins or Chris Rock. And to get those people alone and get to talk to them about their work is just – I would do the show for free, you know, and by the way, I don't know if you know about podcasts. I'd do it for free. Yeah.
Now, I totally understand that. And look, we have a great job and we love doing this show. But one of our great frustrations is that we are, you know, we do have a tight schedule.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like we're talking to you and we're looking at a clock right now and you have the luxury of being able, however long you guys have, that's how long you can go.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, like this weekend, for instance, the Los Angeles Podcast Festival, which is why you're here, which is a wonderful event.
Super
you're
going to
be there. Jay Moore, Eddie F., Jonah Ray, Dana Gold. A lot of our friends are going to be doing. Jimmy Pardo is going to be there too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you Friday night at 9 in the Beverly Ballroom are going to have Mark Maron on as a guest.
I am.
Now, I'm curious. Maron is a guy who has discussed every single aspect of his life in great detail.
Yes.
Do you look at an interview like that and go, how am I going to get something new out of this guy that we haven't already heard?
Well, you're smart and thoughtful. Yeah, it's a very good question. I have been thinking about that a lot. So, you know, my show tends to be an origin story show. It tends to be about how people came in to be the artist that they are now. And luckily, because even though I'm a comedy podcast, I don't focus on comics. I get a lot of guys that other shows don't get. You know, I'll get like Rick Fox, you know, who's got, you know, like a three-time L.A. Laker champion or somebody like, you know, I mean, like Tom Morello, you know, who like, you know, was not really doing a lot of podcasts. I just had Jesse Tyler Ferguson on the show. He was my season four launch episode. So I get to do their origin story because that stuff's not out there. When I do somebody like Mark, we're probably going to talk about ideas. And we're doing a home and away. I did his show last year at L.A. Podfest. And we had an argument about We had an argument about art, and we didn't get to finish. So we're going to have an argument about art.
So it's
we're
part two of your argument from last year?
Yes, it's the home and away. And if you go back and listen to his show, I gave him a lot of crap, and now he's going to come on my show, and I'm going to give him extended crap again.
All right.
I hope there's going to be a recap last time on Aisha and Mark.
Exactly. On a very special episode of WTF. Girl on WTF is what I'm calling the show, because my show is called Girl on Guy. So, but yeah, I mean, also, Mark talks to, he talks to a lot of men. And the dynamic of my show, Girl on Guy, is I mostly interview guys. So that dynamic, that conversation, and all, you know, by the way, I'm probably one of the only women working in this space because I was just sick of all the shows with women being about like hot yoga and, you know, sippy cups full of Chardonnay. so, because when I drink my bourbon, I drink it out of my open fist. So I just get different stuff out of people. It's a different dynamic when I'm talking to a guy. I just get, it's just a different kind of conversation.
Well, I also think one thing, because I love Marin's show too, and mm-hmm. he very openly talks about therapy and the lessons that he's learned and mm-hmm. what's working, what's not. And you kind of do the same thing with your self-inflicted wounds, where
right.
you talk about the mistakes that you make. And
right.
I think there's a lot of fascinating ground there to be covered too, just in terms of, hey, we're humans on the earth. How does it work?
Right. I mean, the point of self-inflicted wounds originally, or the origin, was just, you know, I'm a comedian, and the stories that most people want to bury deep in their psyche and drink away, comedians can't wait to tell other people.
Yeah,
and we usually embellish them and make them worse than they actually were.
That's great for you.
Oh, we come sprinting into the bar on fire. Oh, my God, you guys. You won't believe what I just did. I'm covered in fecal matter. Look. You know, it's like, we can't wait to tell somebody about it.
I've never heard that sentence, and now I'm happy I have.
I'm glad. I'm a giver.
So your biggest problem now is that things are going too well for you. You need a disaster.
I do.
You need something to really go bad right now.
I'm courting it all. I've been the big conversation I've been having with people now is not about like the concept of success per se, but if you're an artist, like, do you need to break things occasionally to like kind of reinvent your, you know, your creative fountain? You know what I mean? Like when you're young and you're hungry and stuff is broken, that's when you have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Right.
You know, you're in your 40s and you're driving a, you know, freaking Tesla. You know what I mean? And your biggest problem is the lady put whole milk in your soy milk latte. You want to punch her in the neck. That's not real. Those aren't real problems. You
right.
know? So,
where does it come from then? That's what you're saying?
You have to stay engaged. You know what I mean? And I think
I did
because he deserved it.
Have you tried cutting? Maybe you should look into that.
I should. I should look into self-mutilation, right? Burning. That's why all the guys my age are like, you know, like all tatted up and, you know, falling out of their marriages and stuff. I mean, you don't get what happens to like somebody in their 40s when they break everything until you start to hit that time. You're like, I get it. You think, oh, I'm going to get up every day and have like fiber and have a bowel movement and go to the gym for the next 50 years. Oh my God.
This is all there is?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you start to see it more clearly. It seems, when you're younger, like it's recklessness, and then you realize, like, you know, being human, a lot of it's about frailty.
Funny, though, in that the worse our lives go, even with this job, mm-hmm. the worse things go, the better.
I'm telling you, no one is ever as funny as when they get dumped or beaten up or fired. Like, and I mean, every comic will tell you the night that, like, their girlfriend dumped them or something terrible happened to them, and they go running into the club and have the set of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, everybody probably remembers that when Tig Notaro got her cancer diagnosis, right? And that was a transformative set for her.
Yeah, it was classic.
Yeah, yeah, and so, you know, I mean, this being human thing, man, figuring it out's hard. And that's where the drinking comes in.
Yes. Let me put you on pause right there. Our guest is Aisha Tyler here on the Kevin Bean Show. Los Angeles Podcast Festival is going to be happening this weekend at the Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills. A great event with some great podcasters you know, some you don't too. Single day tickets start at just $29, by the way, at lapodfest.com. F Jimmy Pardo, though, right, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, Sally hasn't heard that before.
We'll be right
from
back with Aisha.
Family.
Right after this on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock. You're listening to the Kevin Bean Show at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
She
was talking.
Unrepeatable. We were talking off the air about politics and politicians, but I was saying how disappointing it is when someone is in office and is like this font of material for you, either leaves office or you know, something bad happens to them and you can't talk crap about them anymore.
Yeah, it's not as fun, right?
No, it isn't. I'm not ashamed to admit this. I've been doing a really enjoyable for me, very satisfying bit about Toronto crackhead Mayor Rob Ford for a long time, and I I like the guy. I think he's a rock star. Doesn't give anyone, not even half of an F about your feelings.
He sure doesn't.
Or concerns.
He sure doesn't.
Right. I mean, he couldn't scrape together one whole F with like both of his hands and a shovel. And now apparently he's been diagnosed with cancer, so I can't do that bit anymore.
So now you have to drop all 17 minutes?
Thanks a lot, Cosmos.
Yeah, way to go.
And I wish you the very best in your recovery, Rob Ford.
I should mention that that's the voice of Aisha Tyler here on The Kevin Abid Show, host of the Girl on Guy podcast. You can see her Friday night at the Sofitel Hotel in Beverly Hills. She'll be interviewing the great Marc Maron at 9 o'clock. Tickets, by the way, for the PodFest this weekend are at lapodfest.com. Single-day tickets start at just $29. It's an awesome, awesome event that they have every weekend. Hey, who has been your number one on the wish list for the Girl on Guy podcast?
Okay, I just been putting this out there in the universe forever. I'm going to keep doing it until it happens. Right. Dave Grohl. I want Dave Grohl so badly.
Oh, I can't imagine he wouldn't do it.
His people are a bunch of C blockers, but it'll come together.
But he's done Hardwick. He's done a bunch of shows.
I'm dying to get him.
Here's the thing about him, and we've talked to him many times. Greatest guy in the world. He will exceed your expectations.
That's my sense, is that he's amazing.
He will exceed what you think. And the second he finds out about it, he'll do it.
I just got to get
past his people.
He's got a new series coming out on HBO.
He does, right?
Doesn't that look great?
Yeah, and so I'm hoping I can get him to promote that. But I think he's incredible. I've got some amazing people coming up this fall that I already have in the can. Like I said, Jesse Tyler Ferguson just went up yesterday.
Fantastic.
Stephen Amell from Arrow. Michael Kelly from House of Cards.
Nice.
Oh, God, I can't even remember all the awesome people that I have coming up. Oh, God, I don't, because I have early onset dementia.
That's sad, because I used to have a 17-minute chunk about that.
and now you can't do it anymore. It's an outrage.
Do you enjoy daytime TV? Because it seems like the opposite of you and your style, doing a format like that with a bunch of other ladies and, you know, in and out 5-minute interviews.
Well, it's interesting because it's a very new thing for me. You know, I've been a comic for over 20 years. My scope or my demo has always been kind of like young, sarcastic guys,
right.
You know, I mean, that, you know, talk soup and stuff like that. And I didn't know that I would like it, quite honestly. I went in and just did a week there, and everybody was so nice to me, and it was a new demo. It just opened up a new group of people that I hadn't had a chance to speak to previously. The show, by the way, since I've been there, has consistently skewed younger and younger and more, like it's gotten edgier
because
and more
of you.
Cooler.
I mean, I think because everybody just is relaxing, and the show doesn't have that kind of like high pitched tittering, like sarcasm that I think people
are used
to.
Let's try that again. Because of you.
I'll just leave that where you put it. And so it's great because now what it did for me was it just widened the scope of the audience that I was able to speak to.
Do you have to pull yourself back for that show?
Well, I can't drop bombs, but other than that, no, not at all. And
when
I took the job, I said, look, go and see what I do. Listen to my podcast. I'm not going to change who I am for this show. And so if that's what you want, like respectfully, like it was a very kind conversation. I was like, I don't want us to all get into bed together and then realize we thought we were getting something different. So I don't want this to be the crying game. So they said, we don't want you to change, and they haven't asked me to. And the show's really fun. It's probably the easiest of the things I do because it's so well produced. I just get to show up and talk.
Right.
For an hour,
yeah.
and the number of people I've been able to meet on the show that I've admired, you know, again, access to different people.
Does that turn into guests for your podcast?
It has quite a bit of times. Yeah,
oh, that's
quite a bit of times. Yeah.
Why do you think Sharon Osbourne? And I know this may be unfair to put you on the spot for something your co-host has said, but why does she so vehemently hate you too? Just for giving away their album? Did you guys talk about that on the TV show too?
We talked about it. Yeah, and I could respond. I don't think she would object. She said it on the show. People forget, first of all, that Sharon Osbourne's been in the music management industry her entire life.
Forever,
she was a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, she managed Electric Light Orchestra and not just Black Sabbath, lots of other bands.
Right.
And the way that she feels about it, regardless of her taste in music, is that when you are a massive band like U2 and your pockets are so deep, of course you can afford to give your music away, although they didn't give it away for free.
Oh,
I mean,
no,
Apple
bought
them for like $100 million. I'm crazy.
Yeah,
money.
They got paid more than they would have.
Yeah, then they would have made on the market.
That's why I don't understand
their
position is because they got paid.
Well, I get it from my perspective. If I'm the band, I'm making money and I don't have to deal with the burden of the open marketplace.
Right.
But what if I'm a young band, a new band, and what Apple, and this is her perspective, not necessarily mine, but her perspective is what U2 and Apple are telling the world is music should be free. Music shouldn't cost. Music doesn't have value. And so then I'm a young band and I'm trying to make money, and people are like, well, I don't have to pay for the U2 album. Why should I buy your crap? Or, and so maybe
yeah,
it doesn't completely it devalues the music marketplace. And it's already dying anyway because everybody's on Spotify and all that crap, and they get all their music for free anyway.
We had an artist in here, and I don't want to name this this person because we respect them a lot. Mm-hmm. But said it worked for
Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Okay.
Worked for 2 years on this project, and people can buy it for the cost of a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And that was like really sort of depressing.
When you think about it,
work went into it.
Artists are killing themselves. Albums don't make money anymore. You've got to tour incessantly to make a living. And I think she's coming at it from the artist's perspective, which is people slave over this.
Right.
And they
I understand
bleed
that,
over this.
But you know, Aisha, you know that technology changes and the world changes.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't fight that. That would be like me complaining, hey, it's not fair that you have a podcast because I went to broadcast school or I work at a radio station with a license that has a tower, so therefore you're not valid. It's a different world with new things coming, and you just have to accept and adapt.
I think both perspectives are utterly valid. Do you know what I mean? Like I even think about a band like Metallica. Look, the first album I bought on vinyl was Kill 'Em All. I love that band. They're like in my blood. I partied and talked about Fear with James Hetfield when I was like 15 years old. I love those guys.
Wow, that's
awesome. Love them. Yeah, it's pretty great. It's like literally a better day than my wedding day. But you know, when they were fighting, they didn't want to put their music on iTunes, and they were fighting, you know,
for
these guys that were, they were like really resistant. And I just felt like, you guys, you've got to catch up. But this is a Faustian bargain we're all making right now, right? Technology is improving all of our lives and also eating us all from the inside out. And
no,
I'm not,
you're right.
I'm
you're
not right. A Luddite. I walked in here. I have two phones in my pocket. I'm literally going to die of like phone radiation in 7 minutes when I leave this building. I love
you're absolutely right, Aisha, in that although we benefit from being able to get our music for free, there's a lot of music that will not ever be made because there's no money in it.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Faustian deal.
Yeah. And I don't know what the answer is. The model is changing. And look at something like television right now. It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's making all of our lives better, the way we consume TV. And obviously, man, so many more amazing shows out there. But think about how all the traditional broadcasters literally crapped a brick when House of Cards got like 9 Emmy nominations.
Yep.
And,
uh-huh.
you know, and it wasn't even on like TV. So it, there are good things for all of us. More technology means more revenue streams, but maybe the amount of money coming through those revenue streams is just getting narrower and narrower. They're trickling, you know?
Well, it's an exciting time to be an entertainment consumer. There's no question about
that. No doubt about that.
I mean, look, you're busier than most people, but you don't have the time to watch or listen to half the stuff that's out there that you would enjoy.
No,
there's literally more than a person can consume in a day.
I'm still listening to Tribe Called Quest, but I'm like, what are kids doing? Are you dropping it and backing it up? But I will say, like, I'll buy a whole season of a show and like watch it on a plane, stuff
yeah,
like that. Yeah,
binge watching is a new thing that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's good, and it's good for artists. It's good for actors.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
except
you know.
For The Bridge. I've been binge watching The Bridge. You watch that on FX?
No,
that's a downer.
It's a pretty depressing show.
It looks difficult.
After
man.
Three, I'm cutting.
Right.
I'm
like, you ever said something like sobbing? Like this isn't even the fun kind of crying at a show,
exactly.
right? Yeah, like, curl up in the dark.
I have never gone to Juarez. I'll tell you that.
It's a great show, but you don't want to binge watch it.
All right, listen. I hate to be the bad man.
You
the
are.
Bad guy.
You really are.
You are the bad man for a lot of reasons.
But we're out of time.
Evil disembodied voice.
We're out of time, and I feel horrible because we love you, and I feel like we've just gotten started, and I'm so sorry.
Really quickly, though, let me do the plug.
Of course.
So
you're
playing the show beautifully, but you can actually, if you can't make it to LA to see the PodFest live, which you should do, you get to meet all these people in person, they'll touch you and sweat on you. You can go to lapodfest.com/live, and you can live stream any of these shows. And if you put in the code Aisha, A-I-S-H-A. You can live stream my show. You get a discount. And you can watch it live. And you can see Girl on Guy in words and in pictures. My show is all only audio because I don't want to put on makeup. So for this one, I'm going to put like lip gloss on just my bottom lip. But it'll be great. So you can live stream it. There's a discount involved. And check it out. It'll be fun. It's going to be a very lively conversation. And 100% uncensored.
There you go.
Complete lineup and streaming details at lapodfest.com. The podcast is called Girl on Guy, available through iTunes. Aisha Tyler.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, dear.
Follow me online. Hey.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:55.
Ralph is out today, a little under the weather. We send him our best. We're taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat. And Lisa, the wheel just landed on you. What's going on?
Well, we're going to start off with a giveaway to a movie that I will never see because it's too scary.
Oh, it looks awesome.
It's too scary.
Can't wait.
It's Annabelle. We have a pair of passes to the premiere of Annabelle. The premiere is September 29th at the TCL Chinese Theater. It's actually opening October 3rd in theater. So we're going to give away a pair of passes. Let's say color 20, and they get to go. That's it, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Looks terrifying.
It looks really scary. So yesterday we found out that Colin Farrell is going to be one of the stars of True Detective, which he's awesome. That's very exciting.
Agreed.
And the rumor that was going around was that Vince Vaughn might be the star of the other star.
Also awesome, but struck me as a weird mix for this
show. Interesting casting, and HBO confirmed it yesterday. It is going to be Vince Vaughn, and he has done some serious roles.
Yeah.
A few, not a lot. But, you know, comedians can really pull that off.
I love Vince Vaughn.
I do, too.
But it just seems like he wouldn't even be considered for this. I'm happy that he was. I'm looking forward to see it.
I am, too. I think it might be really good. Modern Family. The kids, two of the kids, are having real problems now. Remember Ariel Winter? Her mother was actually stripped of her parental rights. She played the younger daughter.
Yeah, and she got, like, emancipated and stuff, right?
She did, and ended up moving in with her sister. That was a big deal. And now the girl that plays Haley, her name is Sarah Hyland, has gotten a temporary restraining order against her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, man.
They were together for 5 years, and then they broke up in August, and apparently he's been sending her vile, threatening, and emotional disturbing text and voicemails, including his own suicide threats.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. And she said in court, his grip was so tight I could not breathe or speak. I was scared and in fear for my life. He sounds
That's horrible.
So creepy.
Wow.
I heard that he was threatening to burn her house down and just all sorts of awful, awful stuff.
Well, hopefully she's free of him, and that show comes back tonight. So
yeah, I love Modern Family.
Me too.
By the way, and here's a tip. Ladies run, but gentlemen, the way to convince a woman that she's making a mistake for breaking up with you is not to go postal on her.
Yeah, that's true.
All you're doing is confirming that you are an a-hole and that she's right to not want to be with you.
That's absolutely true. This story really disturbs me. So Emma Watson spoke at the UN on Saturday,
right?
And it was about feminism. And what she said, so controversial, is that feminism is the belief that men and women should have equal rights and opportunities. It's the theory of the political, economic, and social equality of the sexes.
Okay.
Now, you can see where you would take her to task for that, right? That's just crazy talk. Well, what is she doing?
Who's arguing with her?
So, these people, 4chan, these are the people that may have leaked all those nude photos of celebrities.
Sure.
They're having a little problem
That's
with
the part of Reddit where they showed up, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, basically, they're saying that they've now created a website called Emma, You Are Next.
Oh, come on.
They, with a photo of her crying and a countdown and a 4chan logo. Most of the comments that they've made on this website are unprintable. Some are violent, but plenty of them reference the speech with phrases like, she makes stupid feminist speeches at the UN and now her nudes will be online. What dicks?
I think that makes me happy because they're putting themselves out there a little too much.
Well, maybe we'll be able to get them.
Yeah, then we'll be able to get them and we'll have plenty to put them away
with. It's so misogynistic.
Of course.
It is.
I mean, this
very
whole thing
so.
Is just hating women. John Malkovich is such a weirdo.
Yeah, I love him.
He's such a freaking
weirdo. He's crazy
weirdo.
Beyond words.
So he has teamed up with this photographer, Sandro Miller, and I put a link to the photos online because you have to see them. They are recreating iconic photographs.
Okay.
It's going to be at an exhibition in Chicago in November. But he, for instance, recreates Andy Warhol's Green Marilyn.
Okay.
So it's Marilyn Monroe.
So he dresses up. Like Marilyn Monroe with the makeup and the hair and everything like that. He looks just like her.
It's just hideous.
Love
and
it.
There's this amazing picture of him as Alfred Hitchcock and another where he's these two twin girls when they were like 12 years old.
He may be insane.
He's so effed up.
I love him.
It's just the best. So I have a link on Twitter so you can go there and take a look. Quick TV reviews, very quick. I saw Madam Secretary with Taya Leone, Tim Daly, Keith Carradine.
How was that?
I really liked it.
Really?
It was a little too pat, maybe. You know, like everything fell together too quickly. But you know the guy from, I shouldn't start this. The Kevin Spacey Netflix series. The guy
House of Cards?
Yeah, that guy that works for him that does all the bad stuff for him.
Yes. Yes.
That actor, he's in it. Okay. I think he's chief of staff, and so he's her enemy, essentially, and he's great, and there, I think it's going to be really good,
my work,
actually.
Right. Well, I like Tay Leone, and there's obviously a lot of great drama built into a show around politics, so if it's done well, could be great.
I think it could be good. And Michael Schneider bought me a copy of Jane the Virgin, which is starting on the CW October 13th. It got good buzz. I watched it. I really liked it.
Huh.
And the main actress, her name is Gina Rodriguez. She's great.
All right.
So that's a thumbs up.
Beautiful.
Celebrity birthdays. Gordon Clapp from NYPD Blue. He was Medavoy. He is 66.
Yes, let me jump in here, Lisa, and apologize, because when I saw the name, I thought Gordon Deal from WKRP in Cincinnati. So I credited Gordon to the wrong show.
Gotcha.
You are correct. He is NYPD Blue.
Okay. Kevin Sorbo, we know he's Hercules, 56. And Nia Vardalos, 52. You remember her from My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That's the Showbiz Beat.
YouTube sensation and now movie director Shane Dawson joins us next hour right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Got a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup coming up as well. First, though, Kevin, I know you probably don't even concern yourself with teams that aren't 3-0 like your Arizona Cardinals.
Well, it's pretty difficult to think about them, yeah.
Why waste your time with losers?
Right.
But if you'll permit me to bring up the Detroit Lions and something that happened to them this weekend, it kind of gives us an opportunity to revisit one of our all-time favorite call-in topics here on the Kevin Abid Show, and that's the stupid ways you got hurt.
Now, the Detroit Lions linebacker is named Steven Tulloch, and he sacked Aaron Rodgers. Okay, good.
Okay.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's been in the NFL for 9 seasons and has never missed a game.
Okay.
Sacks Aaron Rodgers, jumps up in celebration, lands wrong, out for the season with knee surgery.
Oh.
Out for the season. Not in the sack. In the celebration over the sack.
Yeah. Did not get hurt playing the game of football. Got hurt trying to do a little sack dance, basically. Here's the play-by-play from just after he got injured on the field.
Steven Tulloch, watch this. That's after he sacked Aaron Rodgers on the last series on a celebration for getting the sack. It looked like something kind of caught or popped or something. And then we just saw him go down, and he did walk off under his own power. What's going on?
He finished the game in street clothes with a big bag of ice wrapped around his knee. It's unfortunate, Tulloch said. After the game, you're passionate about the game. You want to get up and celebrate, and it happened. People do it a million times, but unfortunately it happened to me. Sitting on the sidelines is new to me. It's sickening, but I'll be all right.
But that's so much worse than it would have been had he injured himself sacking Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Making the play would have made it so much easier to take than jumping up and down afterwards.
Oh, he will forever be mocked in the Detroit Lions locker room over this. Absolutely. But, I mean, it's not like he did anything wrong. It's not like he even did anything stupid. I mean, it's such a fluke thing that something like this would happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff seems to happen a lot, except Beer Mug has a story.
We want to take your calls before we hear from Mugs. If you want to call us up where you have a story of some little thing that you did that in a million years you never thought you would get hurt, but you did, and it was bad. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I'm not going to be sad hearing that Beer Mug hurt himself, but what happened?
It happened when I was in college, and it was...
Wait.
Pump the brakes.
You were in college?
How dare you?
Really?
You mean before you dropped out halfway through the first year?
Before I completed college, Kevin. I was during, yes.
Wait, hold on.
I got a
college graduate?
That's beside the point, okay?
Hold up. You graduated?
That's beside the point, though.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I'm not even joking right now.
Come on. All right.
What school did you go to?
Well, first I went to Pierce Junior College, and then I graduated from CSUN. Anyway.
With a degree in what?
Broadcast journalism, by the way.
And how's that going for you?
Well, he's on the air right now.
Yeah, I mean, hey,
he
could be worse.
Have a microphone open at K-Rock.
Yeah. Could be worse.
All right, so I'm sorry. I missed the thread of the story. So you're doing what?
So it's during a class break. I go to the vending machine. I get a Snapple and a bag of chips.
It's a vending machine injury.
So I'm holding my Snapple with two fingers under the neck.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing
that. Cool like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm trying to open the bag of chips, I dropped the Snapple, and automatically I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to spend another $1.75 for another Snapple. Well, I looked down again, and my big left toe, because I was wearing sandals, believe it or not.
Sure you were.
Was gushing blood, like lava flow, just like pouring out.
Sweet.
Wait, you didn't feel it?
No, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel anything.
How long have you not been able to feel your extremities?
Well, I just didn't.
That's a whole different problem.
I didn't realize, and then I looked down and I saw it, and then I automatically went into shock, and then I think I went into more shock when I got closer to
sure,
it.
Sure, of course.
And I saw like a ligament and a nerve.
Oh.
So all I did, it was just total adrenaline taking over. And two people saw me as this happened, and they're like, "Dude, you need to go to the doctor's office
right now.
Wait,
neither of them laughed?
No, they didn't
Come
laugh.
Come on.
And they carried me on their shoulders all the way to the doctor's office, who happened to be in that day. It was a Monday. Only day of the week he was in. He stitched me up 9 stitches right there.
Wait, two nine guys were stitches. Able to carry you?
I was a little lighter back then. I was a little lighter.
You were under 200 then. Yeah.
I left a trail of blood all the way from the vending machine to the doctor's office, which is about 300 yards, and I missed the rest of the class that I was at because I came back late, and he's like, "What happened to you?" I was like, "I cut my toe." He's like, "Sure you did." And sure enough, I had the bandages to prove it.
Yeah. So all that was you dropping a Snapple how far? 3 feet?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the bottle just shattered right there.
Shattered, right on my big toe, and I still have the scar today.
I love that Muggs' injury story involves both of his hands being filled with food and drink.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Yeah. That's because it's the only way he lives. That's how he does it.
All right. Well, we're going to take your calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Muggs had a tragic vending machine accident, who, by the way, are opening for Granny Beef at the Troop this weekend. If you get a chance to see them, they're very good. And we're also talking about the linebacker for the Lions who got injured during a sack celebration. Let's find out what's going on with our man Steve in Fontana, shall we? He's on line 3. He'll get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hurt yourself in a bad way, stupid way?
Yeah, I was training my senior year for football, but on the weekend, I was trying to hang a piñata for my niece's birthday party, and I guess I tried to jump up to grab the rope. Back went completely out. Ended up having to stop playing football for life and had back surgery at age 17.
Wow! Oh. Wow, for life?
Yeah, I haven't played since. I played basketball since. I've had 2 surgeries already, and I'm 32.
Yeah, that's what happens with back surgeries a lot is you have one, and then you have another one to fix that one.
Yeah,
and it's endless. Yeah.
It's just, I mean, you know, we talked about when we invited calls, the more unlikely the injury, the better. And you're 17 years old. You ought to be able to jump as high as you want and come down any way you want and not get hurt. That must have been so shocking to you that it hurt that bad.
Yeah, and hanging a piñata, too. Like, yeah. For the party afterwards.
That's not the story you tell most people, though, right?
No, I had a football injury.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so definitely a football injury, exactly. All right, great call. Thanks so much, Steve. 1-800-520-1067. Justin, you hang on. Dana, too. We'll get to everybody's calls next right after this on K-Rock. Talking about that Detroit Lions player got injured in a sack celebration on the field this weekend. He's out for the whole rest of the season. I think you mentioned, Kevin, he had not missed a game in 9 years.
Not in 9 years.
He's out for the rest of the season.
I was in high school. I was the captain of the football team, and I was in front of them. They were all looking at me, and I was in front of them leading them in running in place. And sprained my ankle.
Fantastic.
You're just standing there?
No, I was running in place.
Running in place, yeah. You're not going anywhere.
Oh, no. Just running in place.
Did you fall to the ground?
Had to, yeah.
Hilarious.
Ice, missed like 3 games. It was just stupid. Just stupid.
We're taking your calls on dumb ways you injured yourself. Let's go to line 8. Let's get Katie up first. By the way, Ken writes in, I broke my arm twice playing, wait for it, golf.
Oh, please,
says
Ken.
How do you do that?
I don't know. No further elaboration. And Jorge has a quick question for you, Muggs, as a result of your story that you told us about the injury, the vending machine injury you had in college. Did you finish eating your bag of chips?
Of course.
Of course.
Okay, good.
That's
all right.
A given, isn't it?
Let's see what Katie's got going on. She's in Van Nuys. The smaller the way you hurt yourself, the better for us. And it sounds like, Katie, you went about as small as you could go.
Hey, Katie.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Yeah, I ended up putting my shoes on one morning, tripped, kicked a bowling ball, broke my foot in 2 places, and got a concussion.
Oh, my God.
Are you a Three Stooges movie?
I was going to say, that's exactly what it sounds like.
It gets better. Almost a year to the date later, I was on campus at CSUN, ended up breaking my foot in the same 2 places by getting it stuck in a door.
What the hell?
Dude.
You need to be bubble wrapped.
Yeah, you really do.
Everybody says I should be in a bubble. Yeah.
Wow. That's hilarious. All right. Be very careful hanging down the phone and walking away slowly. All right, Katie?
I won't move above.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Justin in Orange. He's on line 7. This might be one of the more embarrassing ways to injure yourself. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys doing?
We are good.
Hello.
Right on, right on. Hey, I used to be part of a Polynesian dance group for many years and graduated high school.
Weren't we all?
Oh, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec. Hold up, stop, wait. First of all, Muggs went to college. Second of all, you were in a Polynesian dance troupe?
Yeah, I'm Polynesian. So we were
Okay, what?
I'm learning a lot about the world this morning.
so I had to do the dancing and the drumming.
So what did you do? Like people would hire you guys for like luaus and stuff?
Yeah, we would do luaus at different places. We would go to celebrity houses or even, you know, small charity events, and we would do those.
And you got hurt doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, so for our 10-year high school reunion, we decided to get the group back together after taking some time off, and we did our first practice, and in the middle of me practicing, I jumped up, landed wrong, and apparently I twisted my testicle in the wrong direction.
Oh!
As opposed to the right direction?
I got full-on testicle distortion, and I required surgery.
Oh! Wow!
Kevin always jokes that he's dance or die, but you're living it, Justin.
Wow!
Yeah, I was pretty much flat on my back for 3 weeks staring at a swollen testicle.
You were staring at it? What the hell's that? What's up with that?
Well, the thing was like the size of a cantaloupe, so right. What could you do, you know?
So you take a glance and you look up at the TV. I don't know what's happening with you.
All right, Justin, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Let's go to Michael. He's in Winnetka, like that's a real place, on line 6. Hi, Michael. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was trying to show my two young sons how not to hurt themselves with a weight bench and telling them not to pull the plate off, and I wanted to demonstrate that they could drop it on their toes, so I took one of the plates off on one side, which, of course, made it unbalanced.
Uh-huh.
The bar flipped over, came down, sliced my leg open. I was gushing blood. My wife had to call the ambulance, and that was not fun.
Did your kids laugh? How old were they? Because it really is so ironic.
They were very young. They were 4 and 6 at the time.
That's too bad.
They were more in shock. They were scared, man.
Yeah, well, you showed them. I mean,
you sure taught them a valuable lesson. Don't be like me.
They haven't lifted weights since. I'm telling that's it.
You made a good point to them.
Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Let's go to Nicolette, Anaheim, line 4. Now, her injury sounds serious. It almost involved an amputation, you guys.
Wow, Nicolette.
Hello.
Hi there.
What happened?
Basically, what happened was I was 15 and stupid, and I was going on the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And I climbed up something. There's a certain part where there's like a giant stone slab in the middle of the room, and there's a rope that you can step or pull on, and there's a step to get to that for little kids.
Right.
So I climbed on the actual platform, jumped off without looking, hit my shin on the step, apparently with the equivalent force of getting hit by a car.
Yes.
And that made it swell, caused a bed sore, which then killed the tissue. By the time the doctor sent me to the surgeon, he admitted me to the hospital that night. The surgery was the next morning on my 16th birthday, and they said that if I waited another day, it would have gone to the bone, and they would have had to amputate my leg.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And how was it? I mean, you recovered, and you got the use of your leg back normally?
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing that they did was they cut into one of my muscles a little bit, so I scuffed my right shoe, the toe of it, before my left shoe always. But other than that, I was in a wheelchair for about 3 weeks, and it took like a year to heal, but now I'm fine.
Do you have a bitchin' scar?
I do. It's probably about 3 inches long by about an inch and a half wide, and it's a perfect oval right on the front of my shin.
Wow.
Good times. Oh, good times indeed. Wow. Thank you so much for the call.
That isn't good for you.
All right, we got time for at least one more. Let's try Allie. She's in Glendora. So just like the guy with the Polynesian dance troupe, find out how Allie got
hurt. Allie injured her ball?
No, but I think she might have been involved in something that, again, seemed pretty safe. Allie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi, good morning, guys. So I used to do show choir in high school, like in Glee.
Right.
And we had just finished competing, and we were doing a little celebratory dance after. And Backstreet Boys came on, and I guess I did something to my knee, but I ended up breaking it, dislocating it, and I destroyed all of the surrounding ligaments, and I had to get knee surgery a week later.
How did you do all of that?
I don't know.
How did you do that much damage? I mean, were you just dancing?
Yeah, 1 minute I was doing the sprinkler, and the next I was on the floor, and my knee was twice its size.
That hurts. You want to be able to finish the sprinkler.
Yeah, that's why I only stick to the robot. I mean, seriously, if I've learned nothing else, don't
and the
try grave digger.
The grave digger's pretty safe.
Grave digger's safe, too. Yeah. Come on, learn your lessons here, Allie. Pay attention.
Thank you for the call.
YouTube sensation, movie director Shane Dawson joins us in about 20 minutes. Showbiz Beat coming up as well. First, though, it's time for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Now, we've been encouraging our listeners to send in their theme songs because we got kind of tired of the one that we've been playing for all those years by Lightning. And then Omar made one, and a few listeners have sent one. And I think we have a new one that has not been played yet before. Now, do we know the listener's name on this one, David King of Mexico?
No.
Okay.
Forgot.
All right. Random listener, thank you for this. Please enjoy.
Now, here's some awesome videos we'd like to share from two bad brothers you know so well. We got a jam-packed from A to Z. We got captains that the fails and parodies. So get off that browser, no need to rewind. Cause Kevin MV's got the best bits of all time. So sit back, relax, it's about to get weird. Time for the internet rounded to get all up in your ear.
Come on. Seriously. I like it. I like it very much.
And when you say all like right. it, you mean... You know.
I love it.
Yeah,
that sounds like a little Slick Rick right there, right?
A little bit,
yeah.
Or do you prefer this, the new OG from Omar Khan?
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup, so tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
Bob Dylan sounds great.
He told us that he was just sitting there and it just popped into his head. Cameo. Cameo, a band that was, what, 20 years ago? 30
yeah,
years ago?
Late 80s, I want to say, when that song was out. So, very funny. All right, so you just take your pick, whichever one you like better. Let's take a look at this week's videos. The King of Mexico puts them together for you at krock.com or kevinabead.com. All the best viral videos of the week. Stop trying to ride your livestock, is what I have to say.
But if you do, this is what you deserve, right?
This guy is drunk, and it's unclear to me whether this is his sheep or it's somebody else's sheep or whatever, but he's trying to ride the sheep, and the sheep will have none of it. The sheep manages to get out from under him and turn around and just ram the guy right in the testes, which is exactly what this guy deserved. We were in Scotland that one time, Kevin.
I remember.
And we actually jumped a fence and tried to catch a sheep. I don't remember
what were you going to do with
How
it?
How long ago must this have been that the Bean and I were there, and I talked Bean, of all people, into jumping a fence at midnight and chasing down a sheep, which we never ended up catching. But just the idea that he would do that with me
it's been a while.
Bean used to be cool.
Yeah.
It must have been before I became a farmer, before I had my own sheep, and before I would shoot people who would behave like that on my land. Speaking of animals, this is some guys. They're called idiots in a boat in the video, and you're going to agree when you see it. Where are they, Dave? They're going down like the Nile or something?
Amazon.
In the Amazon. Okay, yeah. So they're in South America, and they come across one of those crazy snakes that you only see in the movies, like an anaconda or something. It's got to be like 14 feet long, and they're just poking at it with a stick. I mean, they're just picking up the tail in the water. I mean, aren't you begging this thing to come onto the boat? But they're having the time of their lives. Listen up. That one you got to see to believe.
Wow.
I mean, most of us would do everything we could to make sure we were as far away from that snake as possible. But
the
snake
must have ate a cow or something like that big, and they're poking at it.
It's enormous.
I would have pushed that girl yelling right into the water.
Didn't she? Gwen Stefani is everywhere these days, and that makes me happy. She's delightful as one of the judges on The Voice, and she was doing some promotion with her fellow judge, Blake Shelton. They came onto the Jimmy Fallon show a couple of nights ago for one of these epic lip sync battles, and it's very funny. You got to watch the whole clip. Blake Shelton doing Endless Love, for instance. This is something you'll love. Gwen Stefani has a little bit of fun before she sings her song.
Gwen Stefani is up next.
Jimmy Kimmel, thank you so much.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon?
Will.
Hey, I just
And then she does a great job with the curly. I mean, she's one of the best lip syncers I think I've ever seen in that series. Don't you think, Dave?
I don't know. I thought
she was fantastic.
I mean, but it's not fair because she's a performer where, like, Anna Kendrick and, you know, someone else.
Yeah, she's really got a lot of experience getting up on stage. And
she called him Kimmel. That works for me.
That was awesome.
All About the Bass is one of the biggest hits of the summer. I think it's currently number one or number two in the charts right now. And somebody got the bright idea to take it literally, and they took all the treble out of the song. So here you are. Here's All About the Bass, really just with the bass. I'm all about that bass, bass. That cracks me up.
Turns out it sounds better that way. True.
Turns out you need a little treble.
A little treble.
Yeah, the song sounds better way without treble.
How dare you, Dave? That's a great song. Every once in a while, we had a video a few months ago about some men who tried to experience what it was like to give birth, and this is kind of in that vein. They're getting bikini waxes for the first time. They're so tired of hearing women complain about what bikini waxes are like that they do a video of, they're going to go through it and see if it's as bad as all that, and guess what? It is.
Ah! Ooh, cool. It's a 1-2 punch of hot torture and then pulling torture.
Ah!
It's like a short, tiny electric shock.
Don't cross your legs on me. You don't want to get stuck together.
Ooh, cool. Oh, that one hurt.
All right, lift your legs. We're going to do your butt now.
Okay, no thanks.
Oh, boy.
I never want to hear that sentence.
And as someone who lost a bet and had to do this, it is not fun.
No. Yeah.
So
you had to do that?
Yeah. Dude, I did it for this show.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I lost to Ralph.
Well, maybe you should do it again if
you remember.
Yeah,
maybe we should do it. That's right. Good. Thank you, Lisa.
Lisa, is that a thing that your legs get stuck together if the wax touches? Really?
Things get stuck together.
Wow.
All right.
I don't know why somebody got the idea to do this, but it shows how much music enhances the movie-going experience. Somebody has taken the classic final scene of Star Wars, Episode 4. This is the one where you see Chewbacca and you see Han Solo and you see Luke Skywalker and they're walking up to the princess and they get the medals put around their necks, okay? But there's no music in it. I mean, that's most of what that scene is John Williams' iconic score. You take that away, and it's just kind of creepy. Really, Chewbacca's the only one I think who talks in the clip, but it's just weird to watch it with no music.
Are you positive that's not another guy getting his butt waxed?
I think that is actually
Chewbacca. Yeah, it's funny because everyone's just looking at each other and, you know, they don't know what's going on.
It's very awkward. All right, here's the Internet Roundup video that you've probably already seen, but it's worth revisiting because it's one of the great broadcast TV moments. A reporter up in Anchorage, Alaska, she's working at KTVA, and she has just done a report on that state's movement toward legalizing marijuana. Well, she decides to take that opportunity to announce that she is involved in that fight with the Alaska Cannabis Club, and she's going to quit her job live on the air, and you can imagine what her co-anchor is going through when she hears these words on the air.
And as for this job, well, not that I have a choice, but I quit.
She drops the mic and walks off.
We apologize for that. We'll be right back. Meanwhile, the boat, yes.
I almost feel like all anchors ought to have a class where they get some sort of instructions on when something like this happens on the air, here's what you need to be prepared to do, because they always are so shocked when it happens.
Well, I don't think that's... If you don't
but there ought to be a contingency is what I'm saying, because a lot of times you'll throw it to a live reporter and the person won't be ready, or the person will, you know, air a tape where it hasn't been edited properly or something like that. You ought to know what you're going to do. The look on her face, though, is priceless. Yeah. And this reporter said that she did it because she wanted to create more conversation about the legalization of marijuana in Alaska, which she has done. But she'll never work in broadcasting again. That's for sure.
I can't wait till Beer Mug does that. You know?
Yeah, today.
When he quits and he's going to...
Oh, I hope it's there. I hope it's there. And finally, on this edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, again, just like It's All About the Bass for Meghan Trainor, this is one of the hottest songs of the summer, Nicki Minaj's Anaconda. And they played the video, which if you haven't seen the video, by the way, it's ass-tastic. It is just nothing but Nicki
it's
and
all
her
butts,
dance.
Yeah.
It is all butts, yeah. And that's what the teens are reacting to as they see the clip.
I can't lie. It's very catchy.
It's amazing. For obvious reasons. I will say I enjoyed it a little bit.
It's a thing that most people
my age that are guys would like.
There's only one word that can describe that video truly, and that is booty.
So much booty. It's gross. Like, it's all just ass.
All right, well, she's wrong, by the way. It's just so much booty. That guy was right. You can see all of these videos right now at KevinAndBean.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
Hello, 6.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at a couple of minutes till 9. The return of Shane Dawson to the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after the top of the hour. But first,
DJ Omar Khan.
In for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat this hour. What's going on? Oh!
What's happening? Keanu Reeves. You remember that guy, right? He was
sure.
Bill from Bill and Ted's Fabulous Adventure.
I'm sorry, hold on. Can I hear Lisa's impression again?
Yes. Whoa.
All right, good. Why isn't he the Matrix guy to you? Why is he?
Because he will always be Bill and Ted from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
One of the great sci-fi movies of all time.
Bill and Ted, though.
Bill and Ted is strong.
That's pretty tough.
Come on. Yeah.
What's going on with Keanu?
So 2 days in a row, he had women break into his house.
2 days in a row?
2 days in a row. Yeah, yeah. This guy needs to get a better security system. So the first day, a woman waltzed in while he was sleeping in bed.
Okay.
And then he woke up somehow and found her just lounging in his library. And then the following day, he was out and about, and this other woman walks in, gets naked, takes a shower, and then goes skinny dipping in her pool.
Oh, my God!
Isn't that crazy?
That sounds like the best life ever.
Yeah. But for me, the weirdest part is Keanu Reeves has a library? Really? That's weird. That's
a good point. Think it sounds good, Kevin, except you don't get to choose which women are in your house, in your library, or naked in your pool.
Okay. I can see that. That might be a problem.
Yeah, I would think you'd want to be able to select your own, but that's scary.
That is scary.
I mean, because if somebody can so easily get into your house, somebody could come hurt you, too.
Yeah, so 911 was called, the cops came, and they're both being evaluated for mental conditions that they might have.
Because in 2014, they're still stalking Keanu Reeves?
Yes, exactly. Rob Schneider, you guys remember Rob Schneider, right?
Sure.
Deuce Bigalow, the hot chick, and he used to be on SNL.
Sure.
Well, State Farm has hired him to do this new string of ads, and he's resurrecting the Rich Meister character from SNL.
I've seen it.
You've seen it?
He's sitting making copies.
Here's a little clip.
Yep.
You're all set. Let me make you a copy.
Ashley making copies, the Ashmeister.
Hi, Rich. This is Steven Sandy.
Steven Sandy and Steve-O Jr.
Actually, we're having a little girl. We're going to name her Abigne Apollinaria.
Steve's kid. Steven Sandy getting it done. More people-orama.
That's pretty funny.
I like Rob, by the way. He's been on this show a couple times. I think he's still very funny.
I still find that sketch kind of funny.
I find that funny, and that's the only funny thing he's ever done.
All right.
Because he's one of these guys who just happens to be Adam Sandler's buddy.
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler just throws him a bone every time he has a movie coming out. But what happened was that, I guess, Rob Schneider has come out and has been very vocal about being anti-vaccine.
Okay.
One of those?
He's one of those, yeah, exactly. So several health groups immediately went onto social media and pointed out that he has those views. And, you know, basically State Farm, they claim that getting vaccination is sound health insurance, you know, a policy.
Right.
To get those. So State Farm has pulled those ads because of people.
They have?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Huh.
Just another way that people hop online and they could freaking take somebody's, you know, paycheck.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I understand what you're saying about the internet activism, but it makes a lot of sense if you're a health insurance, you know, State Farm, if you offer insurance, if your spokesperson is out there giving bad advice for people's health, I can understand why you would not choose him to represent you.
Bean-o-rama! Bean-meister! Come on!
It is just the making copies guy.
Yeah, you know? It's a big deal, dude.
Right.
The Hoff and the Biebs were hanging out yesterday.
What?
At Venice Beach. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very hard to believe.
David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
And Justin Bieber.
Yeah, the guy who's eating burgers on the floors and that hated Justin Bieber guy.
We're hanging out.
We're hanging out yesterday at Venice Beach. I guess there's a comedy, in quotes, coming out, and it's called Killing Hasselhoff.
Okay.
So they were out filming that yesterday. I just thought it was interesting because, Ralph, if you're listening, we got to do this bit tomorrow. Hasselhoff and the Beebs.
Yeah,
out on
I like
Venice,
it.
Venice Beach, shooting a film, a scene for this movie.
That's
why,
bizarre.
Why isn't it killing Bieber though? Now that's a that movie we want to see.
Yeah, I just found that strange. The movie is also starring The Hangover's Ken Jeong.
And I love him.
Yeah, but it's about a man who's hired a hitman to kill Hasselhoff to win a bet.
Okay.
So that's going to be terrible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bean, when did you start working for WTSP in Tampa, Florida?
I'm not familiar with the story. What did I do?
I'm sure you were there. You know, good old Three Boob, right?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
So Three Boob was being interviewed by this reporter in Tampa, Florida.
Right.
And she's wearing a shirt. And about a couple of seconds into this clip that I'm about to play, you hear a little dead space, and she flashes the boobs. You know, okay. she's wearing like a bikini top. She flashes the boob.
Right.
But what happens next is totally Bean. Check it out.
But it's true. I actually recorded the surgery, and it's going to be on the show.
Okay. So people can actually see it.
Yep.
She's showing them.
Can you hold it up a little longer so we can get a better shot of it?
I don't feel comfortable doing that just yet.
That wasn't enough. She's like, come on, let's give us a little longer taste.
You know what? Keep the shirt up. Well, I'm not quite sure I've seen it yet.
How about if I had a 20? Would you be able to show it to me for a 20?
So was it Bean? I think it was.
I'm sorry. I'm glad, across super creepy, okay?
I'm glad you brought up a Jasmine Tridevil because we haven't mentioned this in a couple of hours, but TMZ.com reported yesterday that it is, in fact, a hoax and that she got busted. I think this is worth repeating. She got busted because she had some luggage stolen at the Tampa airport, and among the items that she listed as in her bag that was stolen when they inventoried to catch and charge the criminals was a prosthetic boob, basically, which was that's what she was using. Is she was putting the three boobs on top of her two boobs and kind of making it look like she had three. So yeah. She's kind of been outed. I mean, that was the shortest lived mystery in history, wasn't it?
I was crushed.
So what a weird way for it to get found out. She
that's
got
true.
Yes.
I'm so disappointed. I thought I was going to start a new trend.
You three were boobs. All disappointed.
Yeah, we were all going to have to do it. Just
yes,
to be cool.
Lisa, thank
yeah.
you.
I was going to get a third hand.
You'd need one. You can still get that second penis, though. Oh, no one's done that yet.
That is true. That's a showbiz beat.
That looks like YouTube sensation Shane Dawson joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Shane.
Hello.
Welcome back, man. It's been a while since we talked to you.
This is exciting.
It is exciting for us as well. How many subscribers do you have on your YouTube channels now? What are you up to? Do you keep track?
Does he keep track?
Well, some people are obsessive and like look every day. Some people, they don't think about it for a year at a time. You know, I just wonder what kind of guy you are.
I honestly don't really look at it because it freaks me out and stresses me out. But I
think it like puts pressure on you.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Every time I make one of these dumb videos, I think, oh, nobody's going to see this. And then I'm like, oh, well, I kind of have a responsibility a little bit. more than my mom's going to see it.
You have less.
It's somewhere over 10 million, though, right?
Yeah, I have a few channels combined. It's like 13.
That's unbelievable.
That is crazy.
Right now, the CW is listening, and they're going, how come we can't get 13 million people watching our shows? For folks, I mean, look, this is one of the reasons why we love talking to you, Shane, is because there are a certain number of our audience, a large percentage of our audience, that are freaking out right now because you're on, because you've been a part of their life for years. You've been making these videos for years, and you're a big, big star to them. But I also think there are a lot of people listening right now who have never heard the name Shane Dawson and are like, who the F is this guy on the radio? That's got to be so weird for you. Even just walking around, you can be completely anonymous some places and mobbed elsewhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing is, I'm kind of at a weird point in my life right now where, you know, I just made this movie and I'm so grateful for all the people that have been watching me on YouTube, but I'm ready for people outside of that world to, you know, give me a chance and check out the movie and not just think I'm some internet weirdo who makes videos in his room, which I am.
I was going to ask. That doesn't mean you're not an internet weirdo, though, right?
No, I'm definitely an internet weirdo.
Okay, good.
But no, it is weird that I can go to like Disneyland and all these kids see me, and then I go to somewhere else and nobody gives a crap.
I think there's a lot of people out there who don't even know that there are YouTube stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not even a thing
to No, them. Just the girl with three boobs and that woman that fell on a table. That's
pretty odd.
That's right.
Chick with three boobs.
Now, it's interesting. The name of Shane's movie, by the way, is called Not Cool, and most of you will see it through Amazon or iTunes. You can download it and buy it. It's available now. If you want to see it on the big screen, you can at the AMC Burbank Town Center. It is currently playing in that theater there. But it's interesting what you said, Shane, that you are ready for people outside your online fans to know who you are, because you did not make a movie that is very inviting or welcoming to most people. I mean, this is a tough movie for a lot of people, don't you think?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, it's so funny. It's getting all this, you know, people are freaking out about, oh, it's so crazy, it's so raunchy, it's this, it's that. I mean, it literally isn't any different from, I mean, it's great, but it isn't any different from Neighbors or any Adam Sandler movie. It's a big
I don't think that's true. I think you've got a homeless guy eating poop. You've got a glory hole in the bathroom stall
in
all
in
the first
5 minutes.
But I'm saying you know that you're limiting your audience to a person who has a particular sense of humor when you make a movie like this. This is not your attempt at a broad mainstream audience, is what I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely getting a lot. I mean, it's number 5 on iTunes right now. I'm really excited. I'm right between like Transformers and that cancer movie. I'm really excited. I mean, listen,
that's
weird. That's
look
bizarre.
At that and go, what? How? What?
You know, I'm excited though, because I think it's a crazy movie and there's a lot going on in it, but it also is just a good teen comedy, and there hasn't. I mean, it's how teenagers really are, and it's how we really speak. And you know, I think the world's ready for it. I'm excited.
Now, you didn't write the movie, right? This is from a script from somebody else that you directed.
Yeah, the whole process was part of this show called The Chair, where they gave me and another director the same script, and I worked with the original writer to kind of put it in my voice. I think once you watch the movie, you kind of can tell
my that it's in your voice. Yeah,
there might not have been a girl, you know, or there might not have been a glory hole in the original script, so I had a big hand in that.
Oh, that makes more sense to me, because I was thinking this
does. You
had
a big hand in the glory hole?
Yeah. I had a
is that
big
what you're saying?
Hand
I just want to clarify. Okay. You know that's not what it's designed for, right, Jake? That makes a lot more sense, because it does seem like this is very personal for you, this movie, and is very much your sense of humor and what you find funny. So that's why I was confused. I said, wait, but somebody else wrote this movie, but it sounds like you really punched it up to give it your voice a little bit.
It definitely isn't. The ending is pretty epic, so I'm excited for people to see it. It's very personal. Journey, glory holes and all.
Sure. You you mentioned that the same script was given to two different directors. Where's the other movie that was made?
The other movie is called Hollidaysburg. It is more of a drama. That came out too, same day.
And that sucks. I've seen that. That blows.
No, Shane's the one you want. So did that director also tweak that script so it's not exactly the same movie? It's not like you both shot the exact same film. His or hers is different from yours.
Yeah, hers couldn't be any more different from mine. She rewrote it, and she definitely took it a different direction.
Less poop or more poop?
Depends on how you look at it.
Okay,
less poop. Less poop. Right. Less poop, just as much poops, I think.
The film is called Not Cool. Again, available on iTunes or Amazon. We'll take a quick break. Our guest is Shane Dawson in studio here on The Kevin Amin Show. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. YouTube.com/ShaneDawsonTV. That's where you want to go for all of Shane's videos. He's been making them all the way since back in, what did we say, 2007? You first went on to do videos?
I think 2007.
Was your first video literally just you in front of your laptop in your bedroom just talking?
I think that's the first video on that channel. I had another channel that I've since deleted. That was
it was too embarrassing to live.
Yeah, it was me and my grandma doing a lot of weird sketches.
I would like to see that one. I would like to see all of those videos.
Please don't show your grandma the movie. Don't make her see Not Cool. It's not for grandma, right?
She's dead, but she's definitely rolling in her grave.
Yeah, definitely. No. Shane's film is available on iTunes or through Amazon right now. You can buy it. I'm on the iTunes right now. Now, here you go. You're at number you're still number 5.
Okay, good.
The Fault in Our Stars is 4, then Godzilla, then Neighbors, then X-Men, Days of Future Past. That's your competition. Okay. That's what you got to push out of the way, Shane, to get to number 1.
Okay. And who's he beating right now?
Mr. Peabody and Sherman is 6, Transformers, Age of Extinction is 7, Blue Ruin. What the hell is Blue Ruin?
I don't know.
Yet.
That's number 8, then Captain America, then X-Men First Class. So you got some pretty good competition.
Okay.
So,
my movie literally cost what craft service on one of those movies cost.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about directing a movie, Shane. Even though you've got thousands of hours of experience with all of your videos over the years, now you're on a set with a crew and a lot of actors and some sets and real life situations with a lot of variables that maybe you hadn't encountered before. How did you do as a director first time out?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't that different from YouTube. I mean, you know, all the last time I came here, we talked about the Taylor Swift spoof or the Taylor Swift parody. Mm-hmm. And that was a similar amount of crew, similar amount of help. I mean, I was paying for it, so that sucked. But so this time around, it was kind of just like that, but for a longer period, you know, 20 days. And then the post-production was, you know, months.
Was it more complex?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest part was we filmed in Pittsburgh, which was part of the whole experiment of like, oh, trying to make a movie and out of your element, which was hard because, you know, going to a conservative place and being like, hey, can we eat poop here? Like, didn't really go over too well.
You know, I'm guessing that question wouldn't go over well most places.
We had one location as a tattoo shop, and the woman went home, watched my videos, came back, and was so angry that she literally was like, I'm going to get my friends. We're going to stab Shane. Where is he?
Oh,
they had their
is that
knives
true?
Ready. It was true. You'll see it on the chair.
Awesome.
Airing on Stars.
Awesome. So that's the reality show about making this?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that is already on. That debuted on September 6th. So we're a couple of episodes in. And this is what happens on the Stars. This is we watch you make the movie, kind of like the old Project Greenlight?
It's, you know, the same people, Chris Moore, who created Project Greenlight, created this and wanted to do kind of a similar Project Greenlight, but with a twist, which is why there's two directors, same script. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's airing right now. You can watch the first five episodes on demand or Stars Play, I think it's called.
Okay.
But no, the first episode. First couple episodes are a little long, but it gets really intense on episode 3. And I
did you have any meltdowns or freakouts?
Episode 3 is a pretty big meltdown. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to make an edgy, you know, crazy comedy there because nobody gets it, and a lot of actors were scared because they have day jobs as like doctors and lawyers, and they're like, we can't really, you know, do a fake
abortion.
They don't
come from your background.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or you're making wacky YouTube videos. They don't quite understand that world.
Yeah.
What do you want to do next, Shane?
I just literally want to promote
this
movie.
Dance.
I just want to dance. I just want to sing. You know, I just want to, I just want to make more movies. I love YouTube, but this whole experience, it just showed, and the fact that it's doing well just showed me that I think this is possible for me to keep.
So you're hooked now, basically, on making films.
Yeah, I mean, you know, making videos every single day for 8 years or something. Yeah, I was ready to do something.
I imagine.
Yeah.
That's
what do you think happened? And I know we're almost out of time here with Shane Dawson here on the Kevin Bean Junkyard, but what do you think it was that happened in your formative years when you were 5, 6, 8, 10 years old that set you up to be this kind of creative person that you are?
Horror movies. I literally watched Scream and Nightmare on Elm Street and all those movies at least 20 million times a day, and I kind of lived in them. I would pretend when I'd walk around my house, I'd pretend I was in those movies, and my whole life became, you know, because I had kind of a sad childhood, so I just kind of escaped into those kind of movies, and when I grew up, I knew I wanted to make them.
Fantastic.
That got really sad.
It did, just for
I think I'm a serial killer. I think I just admitted
about
that.
Little kid. That's pretty good. It's a sad
we don't want to hear about sad little kids.
No, but everything's happy.
it all worked out for you, Shane. So congratulations.
You.
YouTube.com/ShaneDawsonTV if you want to be one of the 13 million and one viewers of the channels there. And the film is out now. It is called Not Cool. You can get it through iTunes or Amazon. How long will it be showing at the AMC Burbank, by the way, if people want the big screen experience with you, Shane?
I think it's this next week.
It's next week.
Next week.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right. Directed. Again, the movie is called Not Cool. Great to catch up with you, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Want to thank Kevin and Bean listener Dick, who wrote in about that film that is in the top 10 on iTunes right now called Blue Ruin. Apparently, it is a redneck noir with a great supporting performance by Eve Plum, a name you might recognize. She's the actress who played Jan Brady on The Brady Bunch.
Huh.
Never heard a word about it. They must have been promoting it in some other way other than advertising, because I haven't heard about Blue Ruin, but that is in the top 10, along with Shane Dawson's movie that we were just discussing. So now we know what Blue Ruin is. Ralph is out today. We're taking turns with the Showbiz Beat. Let's start, though, with a giveaway. As you know, the Long Beach Comic-Con is happening this weekend at the Long Beach Convention Center. Tickets are available at longbeachcomiccon.com. Ralph is going to be all over that thing, signing copies of his comic book, doing panels, the whole deal. If you are a geek like Ralph and you want to be there in person, we'd love to have you at 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. Callers 10 through 14. You win this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Leading off Showbiz Beat. Unfortunately, I have to be the one to break the news to you if you haven't heard yet that Three Boob Woman is a fake. She's a fraud.
What?
Not real. Not real.
Luggage, disappointing.
Luggage was stolen. She listed on a list of things that was in the luggage my three boobs. Prosthetic three boobs were in the luggage and it got stolen.
What bad luck she has.
I guess so. It is very suspicious timing. That she would right. be a victim of a crime the day after she goes nationwide with this hoax about her breasts. Like, what are the chances? It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, everything about this story is wrong.
Is shaky. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, I mean, if it really was just a coincidence, like if she was at the airport because she was on her way to a television interview that was going to really get the ball rolling on her new, you know, TV career or something like that. And then her luggage gets stolen. She has to be going, why did this happen? Why is it out there? Why did now everybody knows I was lying.
Which is awesome. But she was lying.
I know.
I wanted that to be true.
I did too.
We need more feeds. Somebody else get on that.
Here's a bizarre story, by the way. KISS has been around for 45 years, I want to say. They've been working together as a band. The consistent two members of that group have always been Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. The other members of the group, Ace Frehley and Peter Criss, have been in and out of the band, and they've been replaced throughout the years with other performers. Well, in an interview with Blabbermouth.net yesterday, the manager of KISS, Doc McGee, who's been with him for a long time, says that even if and when Gene Simmons and or Paul Stanley decide to quit the band or die, he believes that they can also be replaced and that it will still be KISS. He's planning on putting together a TV talent show like American Idol to find a completely new KISS lineup.
Come on.
That can put on the makeup
just
and go on
let
the road
it die.
And be KISS, why not, for another 25 years?
Just let it die.
But at what point, and I think about this a lot with some of the bands that have been around for a long time, at what point have you replaced so many members that it's no longer the band? It's just a... You know, it's just a cover band. It's just a tribute act at some point. It's not KISS if you've got none of the guys, is it?
Well, no.
I wouldn't think so. But, I mean, he's the manager of the group. Maybe he just didn't want to see, you know, I mean, Gene Simmons is, what, 65 years old? Maybe he realizes they're getting near the end of the big paychecks coming in. They can't tour forever. Maybe he's going, hey, there's got to be a way if we can keep this going. I say just give the gigs to Mini KISS. Just let Mini KISS take it on.
Oh, Mini KISS rules. I've seen
them
in Vegas.
That's the way to go, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if this will happen or not, or if he's just, you know, just talking, but it's a crazy idea to think that KISS could be a band that just goes on forever.
As you know, I spend most of my time on fashionista.com.
Sure.
And they had a story on Pharrell Williams, who has come out with some accessories. And this is a really weird story to me, because he's apparently working with the Louis Vuitton company. And he's making handbags. Well, they're bags that are in the shapes of vintage trains.
That, I don't see.
Doesn't sound like something that would lend itself to something a lady would want to carry around.
How come there would be someone that would want to buy a vintage train bag?
I don't know.
For $13,000.
Oh, wow. People who are into trains are not into fashion in general. People who are into fashion are not into trains in general. So it's got to be a pretty tiny overlap for those two items, right?
It's like one person. Maybe he's making them to order.
Just Pharrell. Maybe it's, yeah, could be. I don't know.
Somebody needs to tell Pharrell no.
But isn't the thing with fashion is like you can never predict what's going to work and what's not going to work. I mean, that could just get hot. And everybody could want one.
That ridiculous hat that Pharrell wore worked. No one else in the world could have pulled that off.
It's true.
And it worked. Right. So who knows?
And finally for me, Lisa May is a big fat liar who lies. This is what happens when you let a lady do the showbiz beat.
Come on.
Wow. She just makes stuff up. She just out of whole cloth, she just creates rich fantasy stories that then she tries to foist on the listening public as truth. You reported last hour that Emma Watson was being threatened by an internet group that they were going to put naked photos up on online because she had given a speech at the UN about feminism.
Right. And actually what I told you is true, but it turns out that whole thing was a
complete
hoax.
Lie.
Yeah.
So you're saying what you said was true, but that it was completely a lie.
It happened, but it was a lie. It's
please
very
explain.
Confusing. So supposedly, so after she did this speech, the site came up called Emma, You Are Next, and they basically bashed her for the speech and said that they would be releasing her nude photos next, which, you know, those other nude photos were released on 4chan, right?
Okay.
So a lot
right.
of people were upset about that.
Right.
I'm with you so far.
And by the way, that's where all of them have been so
all
far.
Of them, yes. Yeah. So people were getting very angry about this and about 4chan. Well, last night, that Emma, You Are Next, if you went to that site, it started being redirected to another website, which was run by a company called Rantic Marketing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they said that they were hired by celebrity publicists to bring out the issue of all of these celebrity photos and that they wanted to shut down 4chan.
Ah.
So they were creating all this controversy and anger in an effort to shut down 4chan. But then it turns out that Rantic Marketing isn't actually a company, according to Business Insider.
They
don't even exist.
I can't even follow this story.
So I don't know what's happening, but it's all BS.
Okay, but here's another question that I have for you. Even if their intentions were honorable and they weren't intending to out Emma Watson and put nude photos, didn't they put her, if she wasn't in on it, if she didn't know that's who they were and that's what they were pretending to do but not really, didn't they just put her through the anguish of waiting around every minute for those photos to drop?
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
I mean, that's an awful thing to do to her in the name of, hey, we're looking out for you and trying to protect you and other celebrities. It feels like you're putting her through hell.
That's a really good point,
Bean. I feel like we understand about 25% of this story.
I feel like no one thought this through.
It was ill-conceived and ill-executed. Yes. I think that's what's going on.
I agree.
And I think the problem on this show started with the mouthpiece. I think that's where the trouble began. Because Kevin and I weren't having any
that's
problems
right.
with this story
that's
because
right.
we just were ignoring it. So way to go,
you're
Lisa.
Like, feminism, Lisa, who cares?
Lying.
Exactly. At least we weren't lying about it.
Okay.
Or is that your feminist right, just to make up whatever BS
yes,
you want?
Yes, that's what I get to do as a woman.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Gordon Clapp from a TV show called NYPD Blue turned 66
Plus,
years old
the
today.
The Violent Femmes, too, as well.
That's Gordon Gano.
Oh.
Different guy. Kevin Sorbo is Hercules, don't you know, 56 today. Nir Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding is 52. And from the WWE, Stephanie McMahon, she turns 38 today. Ralph, if you're listening, get well soon. Hopefully you'll be back tomorrow with the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, comedian Adam Ray will be here. We have more tickets for the Long Beach Comic Con tickets. We've got more of that. We have a question for you. Do girls like bald guys?
Oh, that's a good question.
Dave found an old photo, and it's haunting me. It has haunted me for the last couple of days because Bean and I at one point shaved our heads. And
yes, we did.
Neither of us look good at all.
I can't imagine what you look like bald.
Why did we shave our heads, by the way?
We were in New Orleans. It had to do with drinking. These were the early days when Bean used to do stuff.
Right.
Then I remember going to Nashville, and we realized we looked like skinheads, so we bought cowboy hats.
And that's not a good look.
It's all very vague in my mind. But anyway, tomorrow, do girls like bald guys?
Okay.
Is that a thing? Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage, and Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow as well. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean.